by the Senator from Saline, to be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters.
Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind.
Your footprints were not seen.
Your lightning lit up the
world. Father in heaven, we move.
The earth trembled.
As we move through these troubled times,
your path led through the sea.
Let us look to you for guidance.
Your way through the
give us strength to follow your will.
Waters.
In name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Father in heaven, we move.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls,
Secretary call the
Dempsey,
roll.
Dixon,
Senators Brown,
Engler,
Callahan,
Goodman,
Chappelle Nadal,
Green,
Crowell,
Justice,
Cunningham,
Kevany,
Curls,
Kehoe,
Dempsey,
Kraus,
Dixon,
Lager,
Engler,
Lamping,
Goodman,
Lemke,
Green,
Mayer,
Justice,
McKenna,
Kevany,
Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Lamping,
Pierce,
Lemke,
Ferguson,
Mayer,
Richard,
McKenna,
Ridgeway,
Munslinger,
Roop,
Nieves,
Shaw,
Carson,
Schaefer,
Pierce,
Schmidt,
Ferguson,
Stouffer,
Richard,
Wasson,
Ridgeway,
Wright-Jones,
Roop,
Shaw,
Schaefer,
Schmidt,
Stouffer,
Senator from Boone,
Wasson,
Senator from
Wright-Jones,
the 4th, Senator from the 7th, Senator from St. Francois, Senator from the 2nd, from Boone. A quorum is Senator from the 24th, Senator from the 7th,
Senator from Jasper, from Newton,
Senator from St. Francois, Senator from the 2nd.
A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session.
Senator from Jasper, from Newton,
from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Motion, as many as are the opinion, as shall prevail, say aye.
Those
to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with.
Further reading of
introduction of guests.
Senator
from
Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your right and my left, I would like to welcome a very special guest from Springfield. He's come up, spent the day with me yesterday and this morning.
Thank you, Mr.
Reverend
President.
Don McClintock,
right,
the pastor of the
left,
Eagle Heights Worship Center,
I would like
in Springfield.
To welcome
and I'd ask the body to make him feel welcome in the chamber today.
Delighted to welcome the guest of the senator from Green. And
Reverend Don
which one are you?
The pastor
are
of
you
the
standing?
Eagle Heights Worship Center in
we're
Springfield.
Delighted to welcome you, sir.
And I'd ask the body to make him feel welcome in the chamber today.
Delighted to welcome the guest of the senator,
From Boone.
Thank
Green.
You, Mr. President.
Which
I'd like to introduce some special guests.
Are
first of all,
standing?
On my
yeah.
right, we've
We're
got Dr. Dean Hainsworth. He is a professor of ophthalmology at the University of Missouri. He's been our doctor of the day
the Senator
several
from
times
Boone.
Before. He's not today, but he is up
I'd
here
like to
and is always
first
happy to take questions
right,
of anyone who
we've
has got
Dr. delighted to welcome the doctor to the Missouri Senate.
He's been our doctor of the day several times before. He's not today. And also, Mr. President, on my right, we've got 11 students. Today
to welcome the doctor to the Missouri
National
Senate.
History Day in Missouri, and that's part of a year-long project of the educational program sponsored by the Missouri Historical Society.
On my right,
and the Missouri
we've
Humanities
got
11
Council,
the program encourages young people to explore history
history
and teaches
Missouri,
them to understand
that's
historical
part of a
issues, ideas, people, and events.
Program
again, we've got 11 students from all over the state,
society,
including Mr.
Missouri
John
Humanities
Swift,
Council,
who is from Columbia Catholic, and his particular project was on Dred Scott and the debate over the rights of slaves.
Ideas,
and slavery in the state of Missouri.
Again,
and
I've got 11 students from all over the state, including
Mr. Let's welcome
John
the guests
Swift,
of the senator from Boone.
Catholic. His particular project was on Dred Scott and the debate over the rights of slaves and slavery in the state of Missouri.
Senator from Christian.
All feel welcome today.
Let's welcome
thank you,
the guests of the
Mr.
Senator
President.
From
I'd like to introduce a special guest. On your left and my right, here at the end of the row, is Dr. Ben Lampert. He is our physician of the day. Thank you, he's an MSA Mr. President, physician like of the day. He's from Springfield, Missouri, and I'd like the body to welcome
left
him.
Sir,
right
is delighted to welcome the doctor of the day who can minister to any needs that we have.
He's an MSA physician of the day. He's from Springfield, of Missouri, and I'd like the
Senator from
to
Newton.
Him as
we're
our
delighted to welcome the doctor of the day who can minister to any needs that we
first
have.
Of all, we have Aaron Sergi, Louis Sergi, and
Senator
Luke
from Newton,
Luke Seidel. They're Eagle Scouts to the chamber today. We're proud of these young guys, and if you would give them a round of applause, I'd appreciate it.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Newton to the Missouri Senate.
We also have Mr. President David Siegers.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Newton to the Missouri Senate.
Board of Governors as a student representative.
Where is he, Senator?
I believe. We also have Mr. in the House, but it may be in the upper gallery.
Okay, we're delighted he's in the Capitol today, if not in the chamber.
The other final one,
where is he, Senator?
A friend of yours and mine, Mr. President, Chuck Serpas.
Okay, we're delighted he's in the Capitol today, if not in the chamber.
I'm sure. The other final one, not here, maybe I can tell you this, members of the Senate privately, he's been battling cancer.
Chuck Serpas, he should be here in a second.
His goal is to be on the Missouri Southern Board of Governors his whole life. Senator Dick Webster made that promise some years ago before he passed away, and I'm fulfilling that with your recommendation, your vote when it comes up. He was a state representative from Joplin, my district that I served after he was term limited, the 129th from Joplin.
And I'm fulfilling that with your
great guy. I've been involved in community service his whole life, and he'll be in here in a few minutes.
State representative from Joplin,
my
district.
Recognize your board, say hello.
Yes, we will, Senator.
And the other thing, his granddaughter Lauren Smith. If I could make her page today when she gets here, Mr. President.
Thank you. The young lady will be made a page.
Maybe we can recognize your board, say hello.
Yes, we will, Senator.
And the other thing, his granddaughter Lauren Smith.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction, a special guest, a good friend of mine.
Thank you. The young lady will be made a page.
Dr. John Holes, and with him today, also from the St. Louis area, Dr. Elliot
Senator
Korn,
from the
both
seventh.
Ophthalmologists. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're delighted to welcome the ophthalmologist and Dr. Holtz and the other doctor to the Missouri Center.
And with him today, also from the St. Louis area, Dr. Elliot Korn, both ophthalmologists.
We're delighted to welcome
Senator from the 15th.
Ophthalmologist
Thank
Dr.
you, Mr. President.
Holtz,
joining us this morning here in the chamber are several members of the Missouri Society of CPAs. They're here today on their annual stay at the Capitol. Some of them are here
15th.
Today.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Just to name a few,
here in the chamber,
Sandra DePriest, Steve York, Pat Reuter, John Crouch, today on their annual Bob Letterman, Justin Howe, John Lindblom, Kathy Meyer, and Gary Johnson. They're a professional development organization for the CPA profession comprised of over 8,000 members who would like this chamber to make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome all the guests of the Senator from the 15th to the Senate.
They're a professional development organization for the CPA profession comprised.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some very special
guests
this morning.
Senator from the 15th.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce the 2011 Russellville High School girls cross country team. Girls, if you stand up. They're to my left and to your right. They were Missouri Class 1 state champions for the last two consecutive years. This team was the very first Russellville High School girls sport team to win a state championship in 2010. And last fall became the second Class 1 team ever to win back-to-back state championships.
This team was the very first Russellville.
All eight team members received some sort of honor this year, either all state, all district, or all conference. With us this morning, we have Russellville seniors, Cassandra Carter and Izzy Michich, sophomores Miranda Hill, Grace Young, and Taylor Young, freshmen Hannah Michich, Erica Miller, Justice Miller, and manager Molly Ames. They are proudly joined this morning by head coach Craig Miller, as well as Russellville High School principal Heath Waters and Cole County R1 superintendent Jerry Hobbs. I respectfully ask the Missouri State High School Activities Association's Class 1 State Cross Country Champions from Russellville High School and any parents and grandparents seated in the gallery be congratulated and made welcome by the Missouri State Senate this morning.
Let's welcome the very special guests, the achieving cross country team ladies from Russellville.
Be congratulated and made welcome by the Missouri State Senate this morning.
Let's welcome the very special guest, the achieving cross-country team,
Senator from
24th.
I, too, have some special guests here today. On my right, beneath the flag, I'd like to introduce Heather Schumeyer and Cody Baker, both of whom will be interning in my office this session. Cody's from Festus. He's
Senator
a junior
from 24.
At South East Missouri University. He was majoring in political science and pre-law. I'd like to introduce Heather to pursue a degree in legal education after he finishes undergraduste work. And then Heather's from St. Louis. Heather will graduate from Missouri Western State University with a degree in political science and history in May. I'm very grateful to have these two bright young minds working in my office.
Let's welcome the guests of the Center from the 24th to the Missouri Center. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remands. Let's welcome the guests of the Center from the 24th to the concurrent resolution. Introduction of bills. Introductions, Center from 24th. Memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions, concurrent resolution. Introduction of bills. You have a bill, Senator?
I do.
Send it forward. Senator from 24.
Read the bill.
You have a
Senate
bill, Senator?
700, introduced by Senator Lamping.
Read the bill.
An act relating to appeal procedures for non-merit employees.
Necessary.
Introduction of bills.
Senate Bill 700, introduced
Senator
by Senator
Stoddard.
Lamping. An act relating to appeal
Thank you, Mr.
procedures
President. I have a
for
bill.
Non-merit
Send it forward,
employees.
Sir. Introduction of bills. Read the bill. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir.
Senate Bill 701, introduced by Senator Mayer.
Read the bill.
An act relating to operating a motor vehicle with dyed motor fuel.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate
Our present
Bill
law prohibits the operation of a motor vehicle with dyed fuel on a public
An
highway. There are some exceptions. This creates an additional
fuel.
Exception for vehicles you, associated with a public utility. Our rural electric cooperative engaged in the restoration of utility services during a state of emergency.
This creates
Thank
an
you, Mr. President.
Exception
for vehicles associated with a public utility.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Our rural electric
bill.
Cooperative
Senate forward.
Engaged in the restoration of utility services during a state of emergency. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Senate forward.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 702, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to members of the military and their families.
Read the bill, Senator.
Senate Bill 702, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to members of the military and their families.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 5th, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills.
Send your bills forward. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills.
Read the first bill.
Send your bills forward.
Senate Bill 703, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to Lottery Commission contracting requirements.
Senator?
Requires no explanation, Mr. President.
Senate Bill 703, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to Lottery Commission contracting Senate Bill 704, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to condemnation proceedings.
Read the second bill. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate
has to
Bill
do with
704, introduced by
with
Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to condemnation
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 705, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to breast cancer awareness.
With a municipal corporation
Senator.
Within the city.
Mr.
Stable. President,
the
that has to
bill.
Do with a license plate for breast
Senate
cancer
Bill 705,
awareness.
Introduced by Senator Wright Jones,
Introduction
an act
of
relating
bills.
To breast cancer awareness.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator.
I have a report.
Send it forward, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Read the committee report. Standing committees, Senator.
I have a report.
Send it forward.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which is referred Senate Substitute
Read
for Senate Bill
report.
464, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has
Mr.
been truly
President,
perfected
rules,
and that the printed
rules,
copies furnished
ethics,
the Senators are correct.
Senate
Respectfully, Senator Dempsey,
Senate
Chairman. Begs leave to report it has examined the same and
Senator.
Finds that the bill has been truly
Without
perfected
objection, Senate, go to the
and
order
that the printed
business.
Copies furnished the Senators are correct.
Yes, sir.
Respectfully,
Senate bills
Senator
for perfection,
Chairman.
The informal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar.
Without objection, Senate, go to the order of business.
Yes, sir.
Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar.
Senate bills for Senator perfection, informal calendar.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 592 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The
Thank
bill
you,
is before
President.
Us.
I move that Senate Bill 592
We have an amendment. We have an amendment
heard
pending.
The motion. As many
Senator
as
from
are of the
11.
Opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary,
move for
no.
The adoption of the Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? We have an amendment pending.
And Mr. President,
Senator from the 11th.
Was the roll call.
It is a roll call vote.
Move
Senator
out
from
the adoption
14th.
Of the
my purpose, you seek
Senate
recognition.
Amendment Number 1. Does any
Mr.
senator wish to speak
like
on that
to
motion?
I would like to inquire the senator from the 11th.
Can you get that a little closer because it's it is a roll call vote.
Senator like
from
the
14th. My purpose, you seek recognition.
11th.
Senator from the 11th, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
The 11th. Thank you.
Can you get that a little closer?
Since the last time we talked about this, I was trying
like
to do a little bit of
I,
the
Senator, I can't hear you.
The 11th.
Since
the last
the
11th, time we talked
yield?
About
I yield.
This,
he yields. Senator,
I was trying
may
to
proceed.
Do a little bit Thank of you. Research on
since the last time we talked about this, I was
what
trying
you were trying to do.
Senator, I can't hear you.
Since the last time we talked about this,
Senators,
to
we're having trouble hearing. Let's keep the conversation down so we can
what
hear.
You were trying to
Sorry, Senators, proceed.
I think the last time we
Senators,
were talking
we're having trouble
off
hearing.
The
Let's
floor
keep
was
the
about
conversation
your
down
amendment.
So we can hear.
Yes.
And there are a couple of things that
Sorry,
I
Senators,
was
proceed.
Trying to understand.
I think the last time
the motivation for which
a
person
amendment,
yes.
And there are a couple of
be,
things that
I
guess discriminated against. And some of
the
that language that is in federal law. And I was a little bit confused because I was trying to figure out how
be, I guess,
this is defined in federal law.
Some of that language
well,
that is in
what would happen
federal
is
law.
A lot of this comes down to jury instructions.
I was trying to figure out
and by
how,
essentially removing age
this is
discrimination
defined in federal law.
From the center from well, Andrew's bill. What would happen is that a lot would of this remain. Comes down to the practical effect is it remains current law and by to where you could bring an action for age discrimination. Discrimination.
So could
the center from
the instructions
bill,
in the jury instructions have different
the
definitions?
Practical effect is it remains current law to where you
is
could
it possible?
It could, but the practical
so
effect of changing the bill is by removing
the
age discrimination.
In the jury
one
instructions
employee,
have
an employee
definitions?
Under the current system could bring an action
is
for
it
age.
Possible?
It
okay.
Could, but the
so you were just focusing on age discrimination.
Like right.
Discrimination.
I have other amendments.
One, well, I'm glad that you do. I hope that we could take a little bit at a time so that we can be
okay.
consistent.
So
obviously, a couple of days ago, we found several inconsistencies
right. I have other amendments.
In this bill.
Well, I'm glad that you do. I
and
hope that
in
we
federal
take
law,
a bit
I mean,
at a time
it's been stated
so
again and again
consistent.
And again
obviously,
that we're trying
ago,
to
we found
come in line with the 1964 Human Rights Act or Civil Rights Act. And we know now from discovery.
With
come
the
senator
line
from
the
10th,
the
that there are inconsistencies.
Act or
but
rights
my
Act.
Concern would be
and,
is how all of this would be defined. I mean, basically, it seems as though
that there are
the definition at the
but
federal level or at the jury instructions
is how
would be
all of this
the same as our minimum
I mean,
standard
it seems
in the Missouri Human Rights Act.
The
so
I think there is also a legal
at the
definition
level
of age
or
discrimination.
At the jury instructions
well.
Could be
well,
the
yeah,
same
obviously.
As our
right.
And I know that we're still
in
inconsistent there because there are no caps
so
at the federal level. And we do have caps here with
a
limiting exception
well, yeah,
of 65.
Obviously.
While
and
we do
I know
have
that
caps
we're still
at 70 and
there
65
there are no
here
caps
in the state of Missouri. So
level,
what you're trying to
do
with your amendment is just to take out age discrimination total.
Sets up a different standard for all the categories. The practical effect of the amendment
Missouri,
is I'm removing
so
age discrimination to where one in the status quo could bring
take
an
out
action
age discrimination total.
He sets
That's
up a different standard for all the categories.
Okay. And so you said earlier that you have several amendments trying to address.
And I don't know if the senator from 10th has amendments about the subject she discussed with the sponsor
okay.
the other day. But
and so
you, know,
you said earlier that you have several amendments.
This is just one amendment.
Trying to address.
I don't know if the senator from 10th has amendments about the that, that's what discussed it says.
Okay. Well, I hope that we could keep them coming. You know, Strom Thurmond. I think you try to filibuster for 83 days before there the actual civil rights bill amendment passed in 1964. And so he was pretty aggressive in trying the actual to make sure.
Actually, Senator, did you know in the U.S. Senate that in the 1930s they changed the Senate rules?
And so
and
he
the
was
South,
pretty
generally, the way the whole that the
actually
Senator did South in the U.S. Southern Caucus left in the 1930s was they would not filibuster the bill. And the South they would do something we do not do, which is filibuster the motion to take up the bill.
Yes.
So for four decades, or three decades, that was their procedure that they would, on civil rights, they would do something filibuster the bill, the motion to take up the bill, which is kind of a
And when Strom Thurmond did that for 83 days, it set history because that's the longest filibuster of a motion in the history of the U.S.
And, you know, I kind of look at it. I have no idea what happened with this bill, except that I do have last year as an example. And if people want to introduce nearly the same bill this year, I have no idea what happens with this bill. Try it again. I guess they can. I'm not going to conduct an 83-day filibuster because I kind of know that I doubt it'll become law this year. And anyway, but
well,
that's just me.
Thank you,
try
Senator.
It again.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I guess they can. I'm not going to conduct
Senator from the second, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
So. Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and your right is
Senator
from
the second,
St. Charles County, that's
sub-visiting,
David Schlager. He is doing an internship up in Columbia.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
He hasn't been here since fourth grade. On my left and your right, good junior senator from St. Charles County,
gave him a tour years ago when he was in the House. So he's back to get a tour of the upper chamber by the senior senator from St. Charles County.
So if my colleagues would please welcome David to the Missouri Capitol.
Gave him a tour years ago when he was in the House.
Yes, please. Stand and the body make them feel very welcome.
The upper chamber by the senior senator. So, my colleagues, please welcome David.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 11th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion?
The
senator from the 5th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the handler of the bill.
Senator from.
We're on the motion of the senator
Andrew,
from the 11th. Does any other senator
yield
to speak
the senator from the 5th?
Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
He yields, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. A couple of quick questions for you. We went through this bill last year.
Andrew,
and it was
do you yield to the senator from the 5th?
Do you expect a different outcome?
He yields, Senator, you may
so
proceed.
Based on what?
Thank you, Senator. I don't know. I can't get the governor's office to interact with us.
We went through this bill last year.
Once again, we have a lack of leadership and a complete and total
do you expect a different outcome? And if so, based on
I don't know what I don't know. I can't get the governor's office. You know, we have tried since early December again, to try to figure out what components are comfortable with, what they're not comfortable with. Can we find resolution? If we can, let's get it worked out. If we can't, that's okay as well. You know, sometimes we fundamentally disagree on things. Try to figure out and unfortunately, there's been no communication back. Can we find resolution? Gone into the dark hole. We call it second floor. If we can't, that's okay.
I understand that. I think I heard you say the other day that you had made some adjustments to the bill as it related to his messaging for vetoing it.
What we tried to do is make the bill just more, less complex, more straightforward,
whatever you want to call
and instead of going through and actually, you know, making cases.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Newton, what purpose do you seek recognition?
For indulgence of the debaters,
I have
instead of going through and actually, into the Senate.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Newton, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Hearing
no objection, Senator, proceed.
I have a friend of mine, a friend of the Senate and the House, Representative, former Representative Chuck Service is here today. We are lucky enough to ask.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Ascendancy to the Missouri Senate Board of Governors. He served in the House for over 20 years, and I took his seat in the House when Term Limits to Cherry and Lauren asked if she could make Page today. If you would give former Representative Chuck a nice hand, I would surely appreciate it. Thanks for your indulgence.
Would the body please make the guests feel welcome? And the young lady will be made Page for the day.
I would surely appreciate it.
Sorry, senators, proceed.
Will the body mate please make the guests feel welcome? And the
next question. Well, you were elaborating on the changes you made. Yes.
Yeah. So what? So the goal was to try to sorry, clean senators, up some proceed. Of those concerns. And
next
again,
question.
Just make it less complex.
Well, you were elaborating on my other concerns
that said, Senator. Yeah. So what? So the goal was to try to five or six fundamental core issues. Are all still in the bill.
Complex. Okay.
So we have not removed any of the
my
core
other concern is that still there. My other concern is that it should we be successful or should this bill become successful in becoming law that we would impact our federal match as it relates to
my
the human rights industry at the state level as well as in St. Louis and Kansas City. We're talking $1.6 million. That's a big hit to the state. Have you taken that into consideration?
The
human rights industry at the state level.
As well as
in St. Louis,
I do not believe
City.
That by bringing Missouri law back into alignment with federal
state.
Law, we are moving ourselves out of compliance.
Yes.
In fact, I would humbly submit we're out of compliance today.
I do not
and
believe
by,
that
by passing this bill, we actually
Missouri
bring ourselves
law
back into
back
compliance.
Into alignment with
now, with that said,
we're moving
the
out of
Housing Commission
fact, I would
has been gravely concerned about this
today,
and they've walked the halls.
By passing this bill,
in my opinion, sharing information that is not. Accurate,
with that said,
but with
the,
all of that said,
Housing Commission,
we met with them. I think there was a meeting with them yesterday,
the halls,
if I remember correctly, and I actually have an amendment that I'm going to offer
accurate,
once we dispose
but with all of
the
that
senator
said,
from the 11th Amendment
we met
that
with
will actually
I think there
take
was a
that
with
portion
them
out so that we're clear that we're not impacting
that
the Housing Commission and that potential $1.6 million.
Okay. There are letters that we have from the U.S. Employment Opportunity Commission as well as from HUD speaking about the housing issue for one, and certainly in there are some other federal
letters that
things that are not addressed
or would
not support
federal law,
and that would be the motivating factor decision, which we've had a lot of discussion about, the same decision test, the disparate impact claims, damage caps, and the housing you said you've worked
and
out,
and
my concern is that we would not be in line with
federal
law.
Law.
And I think last year I spoke about the impact of
right.
all of
claims,
the
damage caps
and the housing you
of
said
all
you've
the gains
out.
That we've had
and my
since the middle 60s
that would just wipe that out and take us back to a point where it required that we had a law to protect everybody. That's yet a concern for me. So
all
I'm certainly going to be listening very closely to see what the debate is going to bring out and what type of amendments there are to make adjustments to the bill. And thank you for letting me inquire.
Thank you, Senator.
So Mr. President,
Senator from the 5th.
Could I inquire the Senator from the 9th?
Senator from the 9th.
To make adjustments to the bill.
Do you yield to the Senator from the 5th?
Yes, I do.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed. Senator from the 5th.
Could Senator, you and I had a little discussion about the impact on our civil rights offices in St. Louis and Kansas City, and I believe there was a dollar figure involved there.
Senator,
right.
As I recall. You and I had a little discussion about the impact on our civil rights offices in St. Louis and Kansas City, and I believe there was a dollar figure involved there.
$436,000
for both offices.
Right.
What type of, you know, I was looking on the internet the other day, and actually I heard a news story on KRCG Monday morning, and it related to the increase, would you believe, in job bias claims in the United States last year.
A record
level. And
actually,
and the article says Equal Opportunity Commission received nearly 100,000 charges of discrimination during the 2011 fiscal year, the most in its 46-year history.
And
that's a slight increase over the previous year, which had 25 fewer complaints. Charges of religious discrimination jumped by 9.5%, the largest increase of any category. Claims of bias based on ancestry or country of origin rose 5%. Experts say the increase reflects the growing diversity of the nation's workforce. We're seeing a greater diversity among minority groups in America, said Ron Cooper, a former general counsel of the EEOC who now works in private practice. We're seeing more workers from India, Pakistan, and other countries that bring additional religious complexity to the workforce. The commission does not specify which religions or ethnic groups fill the most charges. File the most charges, excuse me. As in past years, claims based on race, sex, and retaliation were the charges filed most often, according to Commission data. Charges of racial bias fell by 1%, while sexual discrimination claims fell 2%, and sexual harassment claims dropped 3%. At the same time, claims of disability bias climbed 2%, and charges of discrimination based on age rose 1%, and we have an amendment based on age. Those are some pretty serious facts that they've given us. Because of diversity in the workplace, we've seen an increase in the bias claims.
And we have an amendment based on age. Those are the federal numbers, Senator.
Those are some pretty,
those were the federal statistics you listed.
These were federal statistics, yes.
Well, I think that's interesting as well, because here in Missouri, the Missouri Human Rights Commission handled a record number of cases in fiscal year 11 as well.
Those were
the federal they handled about 1,800 cases last year, and 1,744, I believe, of those cases were actually closed by their office.
Okay.
You know, I wow. And this is interesting because I was going to inquire of the senator from the 10th 2 days ago before we actually shut down because, you know, I wonder how burdensome this is really going to be on the court system.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I know it's clearly a period of time in the circuit courts from the time folks have to file a case. You know, I wonder how burdensome that case would then be heard in court.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I know it's with this bill, with the passage of this bill eliminating the Human Rights Commission would be until that time, you know, that case would then devastate court.
It would
really,
be
in many cases.
Right.
With this bill, an additional 1,800 cases, eliminating the Human Rights. The Human Rights Commission is the first line, the one-stop shop we have here at the state.
Right.
They provide a valuable service to the judicial system, at least by screening out those cases with merit, or those cases even without merit, and reducing the frivolous lawsuits that would clog the courts. They provide a valuable service. We're one-stop shop. If the bill passes, it'll cause folks to have to file complaints with three separate agencies, investigating the same set of facts, causing huge backlogs and duplication of efforts
by state, local, and federal agencies.
So when we begin to talk about eliminating inefficiencies, clearly that's one which we need to consider here in state government.
I agree.
An additional 1,800 cases, I don't know how much of a backlog that would
then
place on the
circuit
courts
eliminating
or the court system as well. So
clearly that's one which we need to consider here in state
government. With the loss of federal funds,
I agree.
The backlog that then it would cause with the elimination of this agency, I don't think it's something that needs to be addressed by our body.
I don't think it's in the best interest of the citizens to eliminate the Civil Rights Enforcement Office in Kansas City, St. Louis, or in the state of Missouri. And just as the feds have seen an increase, we are only a microcosm. Indeed, we'll see an increase. If they had 1,800 cases and they were able to adjudicate 1,744 of them, obviously, they're working very efficiently. And since you're a member of the Senator Probst, are you not, Senator? And when we talk about efficiencies, one of my concerns is that we may have some departments that have been cut so deeply.
And since
they can no longer function
efficiently.
Are you not, Senator? And it gets to be, what's the point of expending
dollars
when we get to a point where we cannot handle the business of the state as it should be handled?
That have been cut so deeply that they can no longer function.
Our human rights office has been very effective for many decades now, and it would be a travesty to lose it. I would certainly hate to see it being lost.
You know, and there's another issue in this bill, not that I don't have civil issues with
the bill,
clearly,
it would be a travesty
but, you know, they talk about the concerns with motivating factors instead of contributing factors and being able to determine
discrimination.
You know,
and there's another issue in this bill,
you know, that eliminates the disparate impact on discrimination. You know, it's easy. Employers who intentionally discriminate are obvious candidates for a lawsuit.
You know, that eliminates the disparate impact.
But the law allows now for folks to be able to prove some liability if the employee treats classes of people differently using either neutral or normal employment practices.
Discriminate
are obvious candidates for a
you know, clearly this bill eliminates
but
that.
But the law allows now
you and I both know that
that clearly happens in the workplace.
It
may not be anything overt.
Neutral or normal employment
As I said earlier, some of those practices that happen to be openly discriminatory are easy as far as lawsuits. But when we begin to talk about those instances and those things that happen in the workplace that then begins to negatively impact a certain class of people, that's what clearly as far as passage of this legislation would address.
Absolutely. Everything is not over. A lot of it is quite, it's practices in the workplace that we stumble across all the time. All of the time. When we talk about housing, for instance, I'm a real estate broker, and I have served in executive capacities in several of the housing authorities in the St. Louis region on both sides of the river, quite frankly, and have been very sensitive to any type of discrimination in housing whatsoever. We have veterans who can't find housing. We have disabled veterans who can't find housing. We have many families now who are living in their cars. We have families that are the working poor. There are jobs in the household, but they're not able to maintain their household, or they may have lost their house as a result of market issues. We certainly don't need to have any other obstacles in the way of how we house people and what's available for our citizens for a decent roof over their heads. We certainly don't need to have my concern again is that if we go move forward in this capacity, that we will continue to jeopardize an already fragile environment. For housing here in the state and in your city as well as in mine.
We'll move forward in this capacity. I agree, Senator. I think clearly this is a bad deal for many folks around the state
here in the state
have the potential
and in your
for
city
experiencing
as well as in mine.
And clearly right now
I
am extremely sensitive to it in light of some of the circumstances that have occurred around the state.
Yes.
It is. It brings even a greater sensitivity
right now. Are you speaking of the crosshairs issue?
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, there were 159 stories on the internet about that. 159 stories about the crosshairs. You know, that was interesting because somebody came in and defaced the Capitol.
You know,
that's something that won't be tolerated, absolutely. And the fact that some of us were targeted with double stickers, not just one sticker, but one small one, one large one, two small ones, right in the middle of our day. It was very busy in the Capitol yesterday.
Some of us were targeted with double stickers, not just one sticker, but one small one, one large one,
two small ones.
And
right in the
a building that's typically heavily populated
the
during
Capitol
the time they
yesterday.
Left those stickers. And not only did they leave it once, they were removed by my staff persons in my office, and then they came back and left the second larger
and,
one. I mean, that's typically heavily that's populated difficult during the time for me to be able to understand and digest.
And not only did they leave it once, they were removed by my staff
you know,
persons
in the mind of folks that had left them. I mean, clearly there was
no
fear coming into the building. And with the number of folks that we have walking through the halls and the
absolutely hundreds.
I mean, it is something for me that's unconscionable. It was disgusting and it was frightening.
Yes, it was, I'm sure it was done to intimidate, and I'm not intimidated. I think it's a cowardly act. We see hundreds of people in our offices step in my office, sign my book, and talk to me about what your issue is. I heard one of our senators yesterday say, man up or woman up. Man up or woman up. If you have something that you want to hear me say or you want to have a discussion about an issue, I'm available for that. I do this all the time. We do this every day. And certainly it was done to intimidate. But it was interesting to me, Senator, that the four female members of the Minority Caucus were targeted. We're all urban from both sides of the state. We're all progressive. And then we had two other males. One was the Education Committee Chair in the House. That's interesting. And the other one was our very own Minority Floor Leader. And that to me was more of a diversion. I think that the target really was the four Minority Caucus women.
I think so. I think it was a diversion. And you know what? There was interesting talk yesterday about the fact
that was more of a diversion. I think that the target really was the four Minority Caucus women.
I'm not sure whether it was that or whether it happened to be that the day before we were discussing this very bill here and we're supposed to go back to it yesterday. So I'm not sure whether it happened to be because of the debate on this discrimination bill or whether it happened to be for the health insurance.
Yeah, that's interesting too.
Controversial. And I'm not certain that that's not the case or the reason they came yesterday.
It could be, but all of us didn't debate on the health exchange bill, and we've had debate on this bill. We also had the State of the Union address last night, too.
We did.
I wonder if that may also play into whatever that thought process was. But certainly, because we are available, because we do talk to our constituents, those that are ours and those that belong to others, those who come up for various support days on many, many issues, because whoever it is, they should be strong enough to step into our office and tell us who they are and tell us what their concerns are. The only way to get through any issue is to understand all sides of it. And they do themselves a disservice by not having discussion and hiding out behind a sticker.
The
only way to get through it was highly unnecessary, I do believe. But as it relates to this bill, Senator, I know your concerns would be the serving of your constituents by your human rights office, the same thing for me in St. Louis, and also for
this bill, Senator,
the state
here in the state.
I know your concerns would be the serving of your constituents by your human rights office. We need it. All of our constituents need protection, and that's what the government is here to do, to offer protection to our citizens. Their civil rights, their human rights,
all of our
and we have a lot of that going on. And we've just seen from the statistics that I read that there has been an increase across the nation. You know, we talk a lot about citizenship and civil rights and civilization and things along that order. Let me give you a quote from John F. Kennedy. On June the 26th, 1963, I was 13 years old, Senator. President John F. Kennedy spoke to the crowd in Berlin, West Germany. 2,000 years ago, the proudest boast was Civis Romanus Sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is Ich bin ein Berliner. I remember that so very well. All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin, and therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words Ich bin ein Berliner. These come out of his speech at that time, and he made us all citizens of the world. We have a right to protect our brothers and our sisters and everyone. These
are
all related
somewhere.
At that time,
well, somehow we're all related, and we should all be protected. We should all have a dialogue. There is a field called compromise where we can reach some type of understanding for everybody on any issue.
Somehow we're all,
and when we get this, situation where we don't have, we have crosshairs on our doors, and we're not having dialogue. Somebody is dropping out of the equation, and we certainly need that. We need that. President Lyndon Johnson made remarks about civil rights.
Doors,
I hope
we're not
that you
dialogue.
Of the IPA, this was to the
certainly need that.
To the platform, the International Platform Association, in August of 1965, he said, I hope that you of the IPA will go out into the hinterland and rouse the masses and blow the bugles and tell them that the hour has arrived and their day is here, that we are on the march against the ancient enemies and we are going to be successful.
And rouse the masses.
We had two very strong presidents in the 60s, of course, who made some very important changes in our country and how citizens are protected and given voice, that we cannot afford to lose at this point in our history in the state of Missouri,
who made some very important changes in our country and how citizens are protected and given voice.
It is.
It's
a little humbling
in our history in the state of Missouri.
Discussing this bill right now as we talk about discrimination, you know, think, again, in light of the things that happened yesterday.
It is. It's a little humbling.
It's unfortunate.
Even,
you know, that we would be debating
bill,
it.
I mean,
right now,
you know,
I certainly wish, and I assume that you would concur, that I think that it would be especially fitting.
You know
that the bill,
be
or
better.
I would at least like to see there be some consideration as to the bill being withdrawn in light of the things that,
that
happened yesterday.
Concur that I think that it would
it
be
is.
Especially
it's humbling to stand here and to talk about discrimination.
You know, bill,
yes.
I would
when the crosshairs were strategically placed.
Yes, they were.
On the main plates of you know a few
is,
of our members.
It's humbling to stand here and to talk about discrimination.
That's where I am with it.
Yes.
When the crosshairs
was very sobering.
Strategically placed
last night.
Yes, yes, they were.
I appreciate my constituents you know, and the folks back home that sent texts and notes and emails
yes.
Of concern.
Sobering.
for us and our safety.
Yes.
I appreciate them.
My constituents and the folks
for showing
home
concern and
that sent texts and, yes, and notes and
yeah,
emails
for contacting us
of concern.
Those
for us and our safety.
We're right on the heels of the Martin Luther King celebration. And he spoke in his "I Have a Dream" speech. He said, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." Again, that's a reference to the field of compromise. I have a dream that one day on the targeted for one reason or another with little orange stickers with crosshairs in them. The four women of the minority caucus, which sends quite a message to women legislators actually across the state and even in the other chamber. I don't recall any of the women in the House getting anything, but we did get the education chair, which is quite interesting. You know, we do have a lot of legislation as it relates to changes in our educational status here in the state, how we provide that service, and who's going to provide that service, and what the outcome of it looks like.
I think that's an interesting point. I mean, clearly at first I thought it may have been a diversion.
Absolutely. Well, yes, Senator, I thank you for allowing me to talk with you for a moment. And you have anything further? And we want to talk about some other legislation along these lines that has to do with the sanctity of the worker, or even the fact that we need protection inside of this building. You know, at one time we had a metal detector at the front door.
I was just telling someone, I think they removed the metal detectors.
Even
it
the
was
fact
right
that
before
we
I
need
had
protection
come to the
inside
legislator
of this
or
building.
Right after.
You know,
it was
right.
It was
right
at the time that I was just coming in the office.
I think they
and it is interesting. That in Kansas City, we can't go in the city hall, we can't go in the county building,
without
some sense of security. Without, you know, checking our purses and going through metal detectors and other things. So, not that it would have, you know, someone asked me yesterday, do you think it would have prevented it?
No,
I don't think it would have prevented it.
Stickers wouldn't have been picked up.
It wouldn't have. However, I do think that folks knowing that there's some type of security in the building may give some folks pause.
Yes.
Under certain circumstances.
Stickers.
No, I don't think it would have necessarily prevented stickers.
However,
okay, but if they thought, if it happened to have been a woman and they happened to be a bunch of orange stickers in her purse, security may have remembered that there was a bunch of blazing red orange stickers in her purse.
Absolutely.
You know, so with that and the fact that, you know, it's concerning, and we happen to be right here, you know, in the middle of our state.
Right, I agree. Absolutely.
And I think those are some things. I mean, clearly I'm well aware of the budget crisis right now, but I do hope that at some point in time that we begin to give some consideration to the safety of
right. Absolutely. We have metal detectors at our city hall as well as all of our other public buildings actually in the city of St. Louis.
We
certainly, if we
could
have the city hall, we should have something here in the Capitol.
Hall,
might not have stopped the stickers,
well,
but someone could be in the building with a weapon. There's no way to determine that at this
absolutely
point.
All of our other public buildings
city
actually
hall.
In
we
the city
in the county
of St.
Building.
Louis.
We have
certainly
the courts.
Have right.
Across the
we should
street
have something here in the Capitol.
Might not have stopped the stickers, but someone could be in the building with a weapon. There's no way to determine that.
We clearly don't have
right
here.
We had them until Catherine Hanaway became the Speaker of the House, and at that time, we had a lot of obviously financial issues with the state, and we lost that screening and that scanning, and I think it should be reinstated. Absolutely, because the building is wide open. It's a very large building. There are lots of places for people to stay at the end of the day. Everyone might not exit. There are not cameras all over the building, just in certain areas.
Absolutely.
So it makes us all vulnerable. It just happened to us, but it can set a precedent. Generally, when you have something to happen like that, it will happen again in
a different type of way that it is, especially with the emotional charge on both sides.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for your inquiry, and we may have more dialogue about this
absolutely
before this time is up on this particular bill today.
and I look forward to having more discussion.
Thank you so much for your inquiry.
Right.
Thank you.
And Mr. President,
Senator from the 5th.
To inquire the Senator from the 14th.
Time is up on
Senator from the 14th.
And,
Senator from the 14th.
I look forward to having more discussion.
Do you?
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th.
To inquire the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th. Senator from the 14th. Do you? You. Senator from the 14th, do you yield to the Senator from the 5th? She yields, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Senator.
Howdy.
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
Senator from the
14th, you are good.
You yield to the Senator
I haven't
from
had
the
my
5th.
Coffee yet, though.
Uh-oh.
She yields,
you
Senator,
haven't
you
had your coffee. Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning,
do we need
Senator.
To have the,
do
you
want right
to
here.
Bring you a cup
How
of coffee?
You? I have it right here.
Okay, that's good.
Good.
That's very good. I just kind of wanted to have dialogue with you, Senator, about the issue in this particular bill. And as the Senator from the 9th spoke about the issue with the stickers on yesterday.
That's good. That's very good.
I just kind of wonder what your feeling was, what that impact is. How do you feel being targeted in that regard as a female legislator, as a minority in a minority caucus? And also in just terms of discrimination in the world. Place. I know that you are a school board member,
in that regard as
and
a
I'm certain that you've had some personnel issues along that way.
Caucus. And also
well,
in this terms of discrimination.
No, we can't, but I'm sure you can.
Are a school board member. Very early.
And I'm certain that you
but
had some
here's what I'll say. First of all, whoever did this was a
well,
coward.
We can't talk about
you know, I really want
no,
to talk about the substance
sure
of this bill. I want to look at some of the cases that that
but
here, we
here's
will
what
be
I'll
completely
say.
Doing
all,
away with.
Whoever did this
that
was a
coward.
Agreed to.
You know, I really want to talk about the substance of this bill. I'm looking at Doherty.
Look
I'm looking at all of these different cases that are right in front of me. And they all establish something different and something meaningful to where we are right now.
Yes.
And so one of the issues, the key issues that I've had for a while is the contributing factor and the motivating factor. And basically those definitions are the same. Now, I'm not an attorney. I don't want to pretend to be an attorney. But I've been talking to attorneys. I've been trying to understand. This. It's
and
like a foreign language sometimes when you're dealing with the law. I even
now,
brought my constitutional law book from college so I can understand this stuff. And so I'm
it's
looking
like
at some of the changes in the civil rights law of 1991. I'm re-looking at Griggs. And, I mean, they're just some basic things.
And so I'm
as I said, in these
the
cases
in
that are so fundamental to
I'm
where we are,
at Griggs,
and I can't, not, I cannot understand
in,
why the
as I said, of the
in
bill
these cases
wants to go
that
backwards.
So
yeah,
I just don't to where
get
we are.
I think that you made
and
a statement the other day
not,
that not only would we go back 35 years, it would go beyond that. Would you like to elaborate on that for me? I heard
last
that
you year, last year,
I think that you made a statement the other
this,
day that not only would we go back 35 years, it would go beyond that. Would you like to elaborate on that for me? I heard
last
that.
Year, 1864. Last year, and it was really dramatic when I said it. And I had all this passion. I looked at the video. In fact, one of our staffers, one of my favorite Senate staffers, Brad, put together all my videos from last year. And I was with my mom in Puerto Rico. And we're looking at this 2-hour video of everything that I was saying. And there, my proudest moment on this floor is when I had all of this compassion and all of this just like energy, and I was just talking about where African Americans have gone from and to where we are right now, and it is so amazing, and we have someone in this chamber who wants to go backwards. Where African Americans have gone from and to where we are right now, and it is so amazing, and we have someone in this chamber who wants to go backwards.
So,
Senator, I am interested in doing as much as we can so that we can be effective in, you know, doing a little filibuster or two. So I've been collecting my books here, and it's something that Senator Wilson suggested on Facebook,
be effective
perhaps about a month ago. And she said, I've been collecting you and the senator from the 9th and the senator from the 10th and the senator from the 5th, you're going to have to work real hard this year. Because there's so much that's against us this year. And lo and behold, what happened? You're going to this have to week. Work real, real hard last this week year. It was kind of controversial. So this week, that's we all have year. An opportunity and to see home. What the climate is what really like.
This yes. week.
And so last when I woke up on Monday morning, did I ever imagine that I would have that orange sticker on my name really plate like. In my yes. office?
And so no. when I woke
of
up
course
on
not.
Monday morning,
but here's the thing. Here's what I think about. I gave a speech to a group of students at McClure South Berkeley. Office. It's in the Ferguson Florissant School District. Well, and here's what I told them. Here's what I explained to them.
I gave a speech
because I always want to encourage children
McClure,
to be the
South
best
Berkeley.
That they can ever be, it's in the to work the hardest Berkeley. That they ever can, and to do things that are beyond their expectations.
I always want,
I want them to grow. I want them to get out of the 4-block radius in which they live. We know
that are beyond
in our community.
People
I want them to grow. Mm-hmm. I
only
want them to get out of the 4-block radius in which they live.
The
we know
job on Wall Street,
that in our community
they haven't had the opportunity
to not stay in Berkeley, Missouri, but go to Berkeley in California.
Okay.
And here's what I told them. Here's what I told these students when I was talking to them. Here's what I said.
To not stay
let me tell
in
you
Berkeley,
a story
Missouri,
but go
about
to Berkeley in California.
Okay.
And here's what
my
I told
fourth
them.
Grade grandma.
Here's what I told these students when
she
I was
came from
them.
A place that
here's
you call
said. The Kingdom
Let me tell
of Calloway.
You a story
the Kingdom of what?
The Kingdom of Calloway.
Okay.
My and she was counted in the
she
first census
place that you
in 1870, the after the abolition of slavery.
The Kingdom of what?
That she
kingdom
was 35 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She had two children.
She was counted in the
a boy
first
and a girl.
In
and she was known as a domestic servant.
She was 35 years old.
Now, when we drive, as you and I do,
and
from St. Louis, from Highway 70,
and she was
yes.
known
we take 54,
a domestic
we go through
servant.
Yes. Kingdom City,
mm-hmm. now, when
and then
drive,
we come on down, trying not to get caught by Fulton Police.
By the sheriff.
Try not to get caught by Fulton Police, because you know they look out for us.
They're watching.
And then we come
and
on
then
down, there's a place called Hope Summit.
Yes. By the sheriff.
And I lived out in Hope Summit last year.
Fulton Police, because
okay.
you know
turns
they look out for us.
They're watching.
That one of those old maps that
and
we had.
There's a place called Hope Summit.
You know, back
Summit.
In the day, 1870.
Yes.
One of
and
those
I lived
maps
out in Hope Summit
had
last year.
The area in okay. which my fourth great grandmother lived.
That one of those
my fourth
old
great
maps
grandma.
That we had. Okay.
So when I lived there last year, I was like, oh my God, my fourth great grandmother, she lived over here. She was a slave, and then she became a domestic servant.
My fourth great grandma.
And you know what?
When
I lived there last
year,
office,
I was like,
yes.
oh my God,
I was
my
35 years old and I won for
she
Senate.
She lived over here.
How about that?
She was
what
a
coincidence.
Slave,
and,
then she and
guess
a
what?
Servant.
My fourth great grandma,
you
know
what
her name
when
was?
When I ran for office,
yes.
Maria.
I was 35
oh, really?
Years
didn't
old
even know that.
For
wow.
So,
so you were meant to
she
be here.
Was counted as a free person at the age of 35. Right across
Maria.
Our beautiful
oh,
river,
really?
Absolutely. The Missouri
wow.
River.
So, you were meant to
she
be here.
Was counted.
And I'm sure
as a
that
free
she looked
person at the age of 35
over the river and
right across
is
our
there
beautiful
freedom
river,
on that other
absolutely.
Side of the river?
The Missouri River. I know that she was thinking that.
Is there freedom
and
on
I'm
the
sure
other side of the
she
river?
Looked.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
over
I'm sure she dreamt
wondered,
of
is there freedom
having
on the other side of the river?
One of her children or her grandchildren
is there freedom on the other
experience
side of
the river? What freedom is like
you know,
yes.
I'm
and
sure
what opportunity is like.
Yes.
What opportunity is like.
You know, it's interesting you speak
of
your grandmother. My grandmother died in 2003. She was 100 years old, 100 years, 6 months, and 26 days, actually. And she just died of old age. There was nothing medically wrong with her. It was just her time to go, and she was very clear of mind. She and I talked about many, many things across time, everything from age to basketball to everything. She was able to converse on all issues. And, of course, as she got older, my mind went toward, well, Granny, what kind
kinds of things have you seen in your lifetime? She was born in 1903, just before the World's Fair in 1904. So she saw a lot of things come about, television, for instance, and radio, and just so many things, a lot of civil rights issues, of course. And she told me right around her 98th birthday that, yes, indeed, she'd seen many technological advances, many medical advances, many scientific advances, a lot of educational advances, but the thing that she had not seen in her 98 years at that time, it would have been 2001, she had not seen an increase in the betterment of how man treats his fellow man. That was a travesty to hear that in her time frame. Of course, the modern era and the last century, we've had just betterment, tremendous amounts of gains and changes, but she did not see where man was treating man any better. And that's at a time, of course, when she was a small child, there was so very many obstacles to African American people at that time. And yes, they were removed as time went on. But man doesn't treat man very well.
You know what that reminds me of? One of my favorites. To African American
people at that time. And, okay. And yes, they were removed as time went on. But
you know
man doesn't treat man very well.
And you know, so you could take one road that has a clear path.
Yes. Okay.
And then you can take another road. That has all of its twists.
And see, you could take one road
and it's a little bit difficult.
Has a clear path.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember.
And then you can take
my high school teacher, Donna Rogers Beard, who's absolutely phenomenal, and one of my constituents.
Mm-hmm. And it's high school English teacher.
Yes.
And
no,
teacher.
She was my history teacher.
Okay.
We did Latin American history.
Donna Rogers
Beard. And I remember that she used to tell
high school English teacher.
Your life
can
be
clear.
No, she was my history teacher.
Okay.
Or your life can be very difficult. And you know, my mom's from that old school. She's old school. She said, "Listen,
your life
I ain't paying for college. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do bust your butt."
You know, my mom's
because
from
you know what?
School.
She's the oldest
she's
of 11 children.
She said, "Listen,
obviously a Puerto Rican family."
You
and my grandfather didn't believe that women
you
should get an education.
Bust your butt.
They should
because
just have
you know
babies,
what?
Clean
She's
house,
the oldest
and all
of
that.
11 children.
So my mom actually ended up being a National
family,
Merit Scholar, a President
Scholar,
and left and came here to go to St. Louis University where she got a full scholarship in the 60s.
Okay.
Now,
so
it was a very difficult time for someone whose first language was Spanish. Because you had the whites over here in the 60s.
And then you had the blacks over here. And then you had the people in the middle who just talked differently.
And she was trying to find out where she actually fit in.
And then you
but
had
you
the
know what?
Over here, and
she
then
found
the
where she fit in.
Where was that?
Everywhere.
Yes. Okay.
And she was trying to
because
find
she
out
knew
where she
that she
fit
had
in.
It right. To do whatever she wanted. So she always
she
told me, Senator,
where was that?
That anything that's ever given to you is not
because
worth
she
having.
Knew
you know why? Because you didn't earn it.
You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it.
And so you have to work for it. So when I think about this consideration,
that anything that's ever given to you is not worth having.
We have worked.
You know why?
You know, my fourth great grandma, Maria Rodnett.
Absolutely.
She worked.
So when I think about this consideration,
she worked.
Right.
So that we can have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
But my mom said, listen,
you know,
my fourth great grandma, Maria Rodnett.
It took me all of this effort for me to get to where I am today.
Right.
And I am not going to do anything different for you.
But my mom said, listen,
if you want to get an education,
it took me
you're going to have
effort.
To do it yourself.
I need to get to where I am today.
Now, I'll tell you,
and
I probably had one of the hardest
you.
Experiences that
if
most
you
people
want
in
to
body.
Get an education,
how is this?
I'm
going to
write a book about
to
it.
Do it yourself.
I'm going to write a book about it because I'm going to get paid for this one.
Now, I'll tell you.
How is that, Senator? How did you have that?
Let
what
me tell
was
you.
It? Tell me about
you
it.
You work full time, you go to school full time.
I'm
going to
write a book about it.
You know, I remember I couldn't afford at a certain point.
How is that, Senator? How do you have the heart?
Let me tell you.
Tell me about it.
I work full time, you go to school.
But I remember.
I remember a three-day setting where I could not afford to go from the computer lab at my college back and forth home. I didn't have enough money.
Really?
So I stayed in my computer lab for 3 days
to go from
the computer lab at my college.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Clay, for what reason he's
here? I think unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
So I stayed in my computer
Hearing
lab
no objection, proceed.
Days.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the upper gallery, we
three
have
on the floor.
With us
Senator
a group
Clay,
of fine students from Kansas City's Northland and Clay County. We have a group of 20
no objection,
students.
Proceed.
They are here with
Thank
Youth
you,
with
Mr.
Vision,
Mr.
which
President,
is
the gallery,
a student organization that educates students and adults
students
about the
Kansas
dangers
Northland
of
and
underage
County.
Drinking and drug abuse.
They are here with
they
Youth
are here with
Vision,
Elise Bennett, the Youth Prevention Specialist with Youth with Vision, and also with Vicki Ward, the Manager of Prevention Services at Tri-County Mental Health Services. I would appreciate it if the body would make them feel welcome. Welcome to the Missouri Capitol.
Let's make the guests of the Center from Clay feel welcome as they join us today here in the upper gallery. Let's make the guests of the Center from Clay feel welcome as they join us today here in the upper gallery.
But 3 days, thank goodness it was the end of the semester. I could write all my papers, do all my research. And you know who I was thinking, who I was listening to?
So
my music
computer
for those
3 days.
Thank goodness it was the end of the semester.
Now, your staffer thinks it was probably Tupac.
All my research.
Okay. Now, I will say I am a fan of Tupac. But it was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
For those 3 days.
Oh.
That was my motivational movie.
Now, okay. That kept you going for 3 days.
But
Mr. President, it's a little noisy in the chamber.
We get a little order in here so the senators can hear each other debating.
That was my
Thank
motivational
you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think our colleagues should hear about us.
Mr. President,
Absolutely.
It's a little noisy
so,
in the chamber.
Here's what I learned. It didn't take most
we get a little order in here
privilege.
So the senators can hear each
they
other debating.
They get to graduate
Thank
in 4 years.
And how long did it take you?
It took me five.
Five.
Absolutely. Five, Senator.
So,
because I busted
it
my behind
most
to get
people
an
who
education.
Have privilege.
And
they
I
get to graduate
seriously.
In 4 years.
Absolutely. What I had to endure was absolutely
five,
amazing.
Five.
Where
did you go to school?
I went to Georgia State University.
Oh, indeed.
But
okay.
Let me tell you,
an
if it wasn't, you
and
know,
I take that
my mom kind of is off
what
the chain sometimes. But let me tell
amazing.
You,
where
but
you
it wasn't
you
I was her hardcore, tough love. But let me tell you. I would not be
you know what I've noticed, Senator? We're speaking about discrimination, and we've gone off to some other things, but there are a lot of women in the workforce, and there is a lot of discrimination about salary. Women in Missouri specifically make a lot less money than their male counterparts in the same job. There are a lot of women. There are statistics that say that 60% of the cases that are filed here in the state have been with women over a 3-year average because of discrimination in salaries. And you know, the president mentioned that in his State of the Union speech about equalizing the salaries between men and women. There are so many women. And that are female heads of households of that, and you know, are, and, you know need to have the same salary as a man does for the same job so that they can take care of their households like they should.
But then, why have we
there
been
so
talking about this
that are female
for years?
Heads of households.
For decades.
Yes.
And all those people.
Oh my goodness.
Now, it was a different
timing
when African Americans got the right to vote.
Yes.
And then women got the right to vote.
You know what I say, Senator? You know who my founding father was? Lyndon Baines Johnson. Because at the age of 14, I became a full citizen for the United States. All right? When the Constitution was written, I was not thought of. My forebears were not part of it. Lyndon Baines Johnson. But on the other hand, the Bible says that I was thought of before the foundation of the earth, of the world. So I didn't become a full citizen until I was 14 years old. He's my founding father, quite frankly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's
an aside. You understand where I'm coming from?
Of the world.
So I didn't become a full citizen until I was 14 years old. He's my founding father, quite frankly. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's an aside.
That's your president.
You understand where I'm coming from?
You know, I mean, that's deep. I won't go into that story, but you know, last night's speech by the president was absolutely amazing.
Yes.
That's
your
I was enjoying
absolutely.
One
you
of know, my Cuban cigars last night.
I you know, I just realized that you were a cigar smoker.
Speech.
You like
yeah.
Is that what kind do you like?
It was the Monte Cristo. My friend, one of my good friends, JoJo, went to London and I asked him, all I want you to do is bring back a cigar.
Okay.
So he texted me.
It was the Monte Cristo.
And he was like, okay, Maria,
one of my good friends,
what do you want?
And I was like, oh my goodness,
I want to have
all I want you to do is bring back the star. So here's what he did. I went to the senator from the first.
He was like, okay.
And I asked him, okay, I need to know what kind of cigar I should get.
He is a connoisseur of cigars.
I'm a connoisseur.
And why?
And he does it right.
And he keeps one in his hand.
Okay, he does it right. No one can get any better than the senator from the fourth.
From the first.
He's a connoisseur of cigars.
Right. And why?
So I got the Monte Cristo.
And he keeps one.
So I was waiting.
He does it right.
I was waiting for the moment
any better than the senator
that I could indulge in this Cuban
cigars and choosing of cigars.
And I decided
to do it. So I got the Monte Cristo.
So I was waiting.
Okay. I was waiting for
Indeed.
The moment.
I did. So wait, beautiful to see that black man before all those people in Congress.
And I decided
everybody's president.
Everybody's president.
Everybody's president. Not some people's president.
He's everybody's president. That's right.
Black man before all those
everybody. So did your cigar last you through the entire speech
president.
Or everybody's
You know what?
Everybody's
I did not get defended. I was just
He's
so moved by
the
speech last night.
Yes.
I couldn't keep it
everybody.
Lit.
So did your cigar last you
well,
through the entire
Well, you'll have an opportunity,
or?
I'm sure. We'll be in the Capitol.
Unlike the House, we'll be here tomorrow. So you've got this evening.
You always smoke cigars. Now, I will tell you that Puerto Rican cigars, your staffer had some of my Puerto
well,
Rican
you'll
cigars.
Have an opportunity,
those
I'm
are pretty
sure. We'll be in the
special.
Is that right, my staff?
Like your staffer got a couple
cigars.
Of my Puerto Rican cigars
evening.
Last year.
Really?
I will spring break. I brought a couple back.
Oh, well, I'll have to look into that. Absolutely look into that. But you were speaking of your grandmother. We were just talking about some history here as it relates to our experiences in this country and how it's important that we have protections for all citizens, for the worker.
You were speaking of your grandmother.
You know, we in the beginning, we had slavery. Slavery was the backbone of the economy. And we moved from slavery and we moved to the worker in the last century who became union workers with a great many protections. But we don't want to lose, we don't want to erode away any of the rights that we've gained across time because there's been a reason. Someone has complained because they feel violated. And as a result of that, someone has decided that there has been some harm and some injury and there needs to be some type of law. There needs to be some type of remuneration.
And I think you call me whole.
Someone has to
be made whole.
You
know, I'm not an attorney. I'm not an attorney.
Yes, neither
am I. But I understand when there is a loss that is about making an experience.
Absolutely.
And what a plaintiff is trying to do is rectify that loss. So what the plaintiff is trying to do
Absolutely.
Is
and
to
what a,
be
a
judged
is trying to do
with a jury,
to
with his or her peers doing the judgment
so, what the plaintiff
so
is
that there can be an outcome
is to be
that makes that plaintiff whole.
With a jury.
Right.
And
could
it's
be
a fundamental right to be a jury trial.
Absolutely,
it's
it is.
It's fundamental.
That makes
but when
that
you take that
court,
opportunity away and you give it to a law clerk
right
who is doing so many cases
Absolutely,
already
for
a judge at the federal level,
that opportunity away,
then what
right.
happens there? One,
to a law clerk,
you don't get
who is
to
doing
understand
so many
the credibility
cases already
of the witness.
For a judge at
and
the
you
federal
also
level.
And
you
had a
jury, you would
be able to do that.
Of that decision for future cases. It sets a precedent. It sets a very important precedent. And to wipe all that out in one fell swoop is not, does not allure to the citizens' rights at all. We need to have these things in place to protect us. All employers are not good ones. There are some, but there are some that are not.
Did I tell you about the experience of my constituent? Daphne Jones.
To protect
Daphne so
Jones.
Daphne Jones is working for
HSI. There are some, but there are some that are not.
Did I tell you about the experience of my constituent?
Daphne went to Daphne Jones. And it was Martin Luther King Day. It's the week of Martin Luther King. Now, for black people, this is as important
holiday.
As what is the holiday in March?
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes! So she had a button on that said, I love being black. Now, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. Everybody, I love being Irish.
Yes.
So guess what happened to her?
So she had a button on that said, she worked for a company for years.
I love being black. Now, you know, for St. Patrick's Day.
In years.
Everybody, I love being Irish.
Yes.
And she
guess
never,
what happened to
ever
her?
Had a write-up.
I can imagine.
She worked for
no
the company for years.
Problems.
There were no problems at all. And guess what happened to her because she wore that button that said, I love being black. Guess what happened to her?
She got called in.
She got fired. She got fired. And so she, at that point in time,
she got called in.
She got fired.
What happened?
She got fired.
She felt she was not complete.
And so she figured out, how do I become whole again?
At that point in time.
I lost my job because I was expressing my love for being black, and I got fired.
How do
so
I become
what do I have before me that allows me to become whole again?
Her First Amendment rights had been infringed upon,
black,
had they not?
And I so got fired. So what do I have
and of course
before
we
me
want
that allows me to become whole again?
Her First Amendment rights had been infringed upon, had they not?
So she called.
We always want to resolve them.
So I told
and
her, this
course,
is what
we
do.
Always want.
You need to go to the Missouri
resolve
Human Rights issues
Commission.
That
and you need to talk to them. And you need to seek a way, a
we
path, so that you can become whole again.
You need to go to the Missouri
seek
Human
that path.
Commission.
And you need
this
to
opportunity.
Talk to them. And you
to
need
become
to seek a way,
whole.
A path.
And guess
so
what?
That
she got
you
a hearing.
Can become whole
she
again.
She got a hearing, Senator.
Seek
and
that
you know
path.
What? The commission
this
said
opportunity to become
the commission
whole.
Said
and guess what?
That
HSI
strategy
was in violation of the human rights law, and you have every right to sue.
Okay. How long ago was this, Senator?
Approximately 2007. Was in
okay.
violation of the human rights law.
So she went through the process.
Every right to sue.
She was made whole.
Okay. How long ago was this?
No losses.
That was absolutely clear. Okay. It was a motivating, that button
so
was a motivating factor.
Okay,
she
I was going to ask
whole.
You more about that. Is this one of the cases
no
that's
losses.
Laying on your desk that you're speaking
that
of?
I have,
let's
clear.
See which one this one.
It was a motivating, that
I
button was a motivating
right
factor.
Okay,
and
I was going to ask you more about that. Is this one of the cases that's laying on your desk that you're
factor,
speaking of?
This motivating factor, contributing factor, who is the entity that defines, you know, what the motivating factor may be, and it's not a federal law, it's the jury. The jury determines what
the motivating factor
is. Now, here's the deal.
The motivating factor
it's explained as
and
because of or in part
is the jury.
Of
the jury determines
at the state
a motivating
a contributing factor
now,
is because
deal.
Of
it's
at the federal level
of,
the judge's interpretation
in
of, it's played a part in
at the state.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
a contributing factor is.
So I mean, I know that we're on
at the federal level,
yes.
The judge's interpretation.
But I really want to be able to
understand
the
differences
yes.
that's pretty much
between
equal.
Motivating.
So I
know that
and
we're on
contributing factor.
And I just wanted to be
yes.
clear.
But
I wanted
I
to
really
be very
want
clear
to be
so that each and every single one of us in this body understands, for those of us who have not had a law degree like myself or yourself, I was simply just a pre-law major, and I'm doing all that I can, Senator, I promise. I'm doing all that I can to understand. I printed out all of these cases that talk about intellectual honesty, that talk about, I even have pictures down here.
I'm doing all that I can
to understand this stuff.
Now, Senator, all the, how many cases do you have on your desk?
That talk about
no.
intellectual
do
honesty.
I see one, two.
Talk about, I even have pictures
let's
down
see.
Here.
You
to
have
try
pictures.
To understand
they
this
all
stuff.
Have
no,
pink
things.
Uh-huh. How many cases do you have on your desk?
Four.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I see one, two.
Those. I have four cases.
And
then I have
three,
this ADA
and
May Act of
uh-huh.
2008.
Okay.
And
four.
Then I have some
uh-huh.
other, I have all these, you see these scratchy notes, I have scratchy
I
notes everywhere.
Now, all those
and
cases that you
have
do they do any of them
ADA
speak of motivating versus contributing
yeah, they
factor?
Do.
Then
they do. They do, they do, they do, they do, Senator.
Okay.
So here in the McBride versus Ritter,
now, all those
right.
cases
let me,
that you have,
there's some
do
stuff
they,
I don't know what the definition, I'm not in it. I don't know.
They do, they do, they do, they do,
here's what McBride was.
All right. All right.
And this is on some stuff I don't know.
And what year did this occur?
Let's see. Let me go to the front of it.
So
2006.
Okay. All right.
So opinion was we go in here. All right. We're talking about the motivating factor. And the judge and his or her opinion. You guys think it's Nanette.
Okay. All right.
I'm not too sure. But let me just read this real quickly to you.
All right.
Rittner would have us believe that motivating factor is a higher threshold for a plaintiff to meet than contributing factor. In fact, in its brief, Rittner uses the term motivating factor interchangeably with determining factor and substantial factor. But nowhere in Title VII, the Eighth Circuit's model jury instructions or the Missouri Human Rights Act is the standard for discrimination set forth as a substantial or determining factor. Indeed, the Eighth Circuit's model instruction states that the committee believes that the phrase motivating factor should be defined. In fact, motivating is defined as playing a part or playing a role in the decision and continues to instruct the jury that the plaintiff's race need not have been the only reason for decision. And then there's an emphasis there.
In the decision and continues to
what I believe the sponsor of the bill wants to do is make this determination null and void.
Yes, I tend to think that.
What I believe the sponsor of the bill wants to do is make this determination null and void.
Yes.
A definition, an opinion from a judge, I think the Supreme Court, you would want to reverse that? Are you serious?
Right.
Well, Senator, are you serious?
That's what we're moving toward, and that's what we're
but
trying to
this
was,
I don't want to tear this piece
don't
of paper
up. Don't tear that up.
Up.
That's good information. No, don't tear it
but
up.
If I
no.
tore it up, Senator, that's it. Essentially, what you, Senator, the sponsor of the bill is going to do.
No, don't.
And it's not even possible to exist. But see, that's one case.
Yes, what about
the other? I've got more cases, though.
Okay.
And it's not,
now, I have to tell you, to
I have to be completely
it
but see, that's one case.
Completely yes,
frank.
What about
I
that?
I have more not cases, been reading though. Opinions okay. as
and,
now
and
going through college.
Speak of.
Really? So I've now, probably I read, let's see, at the last time I was really studying federal laws was when we were dealing with immigration.
Yes.
And we had senators, or I'm sorry, representatives at that time. Oh, this is very important. We had representatives at that time, Senator,
and we had
who
or I'm sorry, representatives
were trying to say something didn't exist at all.
We had
they were ignoring federal law, Senator.
At that time.
They ignored it. So let me tell you about this specific bill.
To say
there's one specific bill
tore
my heart when it passed in the House. It tore my heart apart, Senator. And when we did our research on this bill, there were four elements of this anti-immigration bill.
It tore my heart.
Yeah, it was about hiring
Senator,
undocumented
and
workers.
And when we did our
harboring
research
undocumented
on this
workers,
bill, there were four
doing
elements
all these
of
things,
this,
four
this
elements.
Anti-immigration bill.
I was able to go back to the 1845 Missouri statute.
Workers.
And they're exactly the same as slave law.
Well, you know what I think about immigration, what we're doing with immigration? I think it's Jim Crow with a sombrero.
I think
it's Jim Crow with a sombrero. Or that's what I think. I really do.
You make me laugh.
Well, I mean, that's how I see it. I think it's Jim Crow with a sombrero.
Senator, can I just tell you?
I think it's Jim Crow with a sombrero. That's what I think.
Laugh.
I really
do.
We had a trying day yesterday.
I slept for maybe 3 hours.
Okay.
It was very difficult. Now, you know I've gone through this stuff before.
Yes.
You know, in my other
we had a trying day yesterday. Yes.
I have gone through, you know, a lot of challenges.
It was very difficult. Now, you know I've gone through this stuff before.
Yes.
You know, where
have we all
I have been stopped.
Yeah, I haven't had that. I haven't had that one.
Three times.
Oh, my goodness.
Three. to my
And you've
person.
Received some yes. type of redress through we all protection or the courts stopped. On that?
There was redress.
Yeah. I haven't yeah. had
I
that.
Okay.
I haven't had that
body.
One. All right. Well, we'll leave that as it is. We'll leave that as it is.
Yeah, I mean, things are different. You do some of the stuff people do here, Senator. There was if you redress. Take that to yeah. another country, they
yeah.
deal with it
right.
in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, just like in the hood.
Yeah. Well, you know, crosshairs, and that's something we didn't talk about in terms of being in the crosshairs of something. I mean, that's a serious piece of machinery that's got crosshairs on it. I mean, it might as well have a
I'm going to have to cross my way to CCW.
Well, okay, we may have to do something along those lines. But, you know, do you recall we served on the immigration, the first immigration committee in the House? That's been about 8 years ago now, if not more, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Long time ago. And
but, you know,
we've been
we
moving this immigration,
immigration
issue around from
deck
from
That's
year to year in some shape, form, or fashion.
More,
but
nine,
it so much reminds me of the types
ago.
Of laws and obstacles
and,
that we had in the Jim Crow era.
Issue
That's why I say Jim Crow with a sombrero. Because you do it to them, you can turn around
I
and do
like
so
that.
Much
Can I take that?
No, only if you say you got it from me. That's original from Senator myself, okay?
There was, let me tell you, one of our caucus members, Senator.
No,
I gotta tell you,
you
she
say
had
you
a
got
joke.
It for me. That's
the
original from Senator.
Had a joke last
myself,
week.
Okay.
I used all the time. I can't tell you before what it is.
Okay.
But I will. I just promise you.
All right.
I gotta tell you, she had laughing.
All right.
And I will tell you, it has something to do with your 10 favorite Republicans.
Okay.
But there's a punchline.
All right. That's good.
There's a punchline.
That's good.
That's hilarious. And very Democratic.
Let's go back to those cases on your desk. I want to hear what some of the others say about motivating versus contributing, if they even speak of contributing at all.
That's good.
This is.
And was that Richter? Did that have anything to do with the Richter school cases on your desk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
Richter
school
say about motivating versus contributing, if they even speak of contributing at all.
But they were. Here's the problem.
And was that
Richter?
Did that have anything to do with the Richter school?
I mean, they did a wrong act. I mean, McBride.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah, McBride actually won the case.
It was.
But see, here's what you have to realize.
Yeah, but they were. Here's the problem. Entity. They were found wrong.
Now, when
I mean,
the
they were
created
a wrong act,
I mean, McBride or yeah, McBride actually won the case.
But see, here's what you have to
That's
realize.
Why we are having
this
conversation on the
yes.
floor.
But
well,
you know,
that entity, what if that defendant, hold on, what if that defendant, Senator, were public entities that did not want to do a jury? They did not want to have a trial, and they went through summary judgment. Now, summary judgment takes a very long time. It could take years to have a determination. And then you have all these law clerks who are trying to figure out what they're doing, and then the judges are backlogged, and they have all this stuff to do, Senator.
Right.
And then at the very end, to have a determination, how much do they pay this public entity, which is funded with tax dollars, with public tax dollars?
And then at the very end,
if the judgment of verdict says,
how much do they pay this public entity, which is funded with tax dollars?
Now, if you're a public entity,
with public tax dollars,
do you have $300 million?
If the judgment of
verdict says, but they're tax. I'm just saying that hypothetically. So, if you're a corporation. Though.
Now, if you're a public
if
entity,
you are a Walmart,
do you have $300 million?
Or Rex and Kill.
You could
pay $300 million.
So, if you're a corporation,
so why are we really here today?
If you are a Walmart,
or Rex and Kill,
what's the
you
big
could.
Secret?
Hey,
why are we really here?
Do you know why we're really here talking about this?
Why are we really here, Senator?
I think we're here because there are few.
What's the big secret?
Just a handful.
Who have means and they have privilege and they have a kind of privilege that you and I don't have, Senator.
Yes, very true.
Because we're women. We're women of color.
Yes.
And we can't walk down the street like our counterparts.
Absolutely.
And I. You know,
absolutely.
I can tell you,
yes,
if, I mean, because
true.
We're women,
how long
we're absolutely. Women of color,
I can tell you
and we can't walk
about
down the street
the
privileged
like our
dynamics
absolutely.
That I had to deal
you
with
know,
as a staffer.
I can tell you.
In this building.
That's right. You were a staffer before you became an elected.
Now, I had a wonderful boss.
Yes, you did.
A wonderful boss.
Yes,
a wonderful teacher.
that I had
a wonderful teacher.
Yes, you did.
Who was absolutely amazing through and through, and forever will he have my respect.
A wonderful boss.
But I will tell you,
a wonderful teacher.
That only there are few people.
Absolutely,
there are few people in this world who will allow us to empower ourselves and will give us the tools that we need to succeed.
There are few people.
Joe Maxwell was one of those people, but let me tell you this.
Us
you go down the hall and you don't have a Joe Maxwell, people will look you up and down.
And
you know, I'm right, Senator. You know, there are lobbyists out there who never talked to me when I was state rep.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Never talked to me when I was state rep. Now they talk to you.
People will look you up and down.
Now they
email you.
You know, we've got a bill to
you.
What was the strongest part of what the lieutenant governor does?
You know what I loved it?
I love that half the commissions dealt with senior citizens, yes.
And the other half of the boards and commissions dealt with economic development. So I remember when we were dealing with funding for the baseball stadium and the old post office, and I was the staffer that did all the briefings for my boss. So he knew exactly what he was voting on.
But you enjoy this position, though, because you get an opportunity
to. Oh, I get to use everything that I learned in this position.
But, you know, the worker is very important in our economy, wherever that worker may be. And very often, major corporations are dependent upon the guard in the shack at the end of the parking lot, or the woman or man on the switchboard from 12 to 7. Their whole empire is dependent upon the decision of the smallest person in their pecking order, making the least amount of money, who has to make a critical decision, whether it's a phone call that comes in or an emergency situation. That empire could really crumble. If you remember Watergate, it was the security guard checking the doors.
But wait a minute. Remember that? Wait. If you are going back to Watergate, we cannot go to Watergate and not talk about Barbara Jordan.
All right, let's talk about Barbara Jordan.
Okay, first of all, remember that? Wait. If you are going back to Watergate, we cannot go to Watergate and not talk about Barbara Jordan.
All right, let's talk about Barbara Jordan.
Okay, first of all,
I gave a speech when I was running for office for the first time.
Okay. And I talked about Barbara Jordan, and I said she was 29. And I'm 29.
Yes, she was.
Oh. I loved Barbara Jordan.
Okay.
I loved her. Okay. And we even have a school in University City that's called Barbara.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do indeed. That's a good aside. But the worker is important. Like I said, in these major corporations, they help to create a bottom line. They help to create profits in these agencies. But the worker is important. Like I said, in these major corporations,
that's really what this bill is all about.
Profits over people. Profits over people. But at the same time, there should be some type of profit sharing, don't you think? If I help to create this profit, should I not have a portion of that?
Wait, Senator, I didn't bring my affirmative action.
You didn't bring that with you. Is that another discussion?
No. My mom's friend wrote the book. If that wrote a book with affirmative action, I was going to bring it this week to put on my growing library.
You didn't bring that with you, your growing library on your desk to talk about affirmative action.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, well, we may get that opportunity as well.
Why did we even have affirmative action?
For the very reason we're standing here debating why we have discrimination in the workplace.
That's why
let me just tell you. Well, now, I appreciate the senator from Cape Girardeau. Because he just brings it down. I mean, he just was real. He's raw with his feelings.
The senator from where?
From Cape Girardeau. I love, I don't agree with him all the time, but I love his approach.
You like his approach?
I've tweeted about the senator from Cape.
Have you?
I've tweeted about the senator from the first. Because you know what? They bring it real. They bring it real. And they feel it. And it's in their hearts. And you know, Harriet Woods once told me, you can never go wrong as long as you're expressing within your heart.
That's true.
And I took that.
What you feel is real all the time.
Because let me tell you, I believe that this bill in my heart is wrong.
All right,
and it's strong and firm.
What you feel is real all the time.
Because let me tell you, I believe for 83 days so that we wouldn't have the civil rights
right,
and it's
right,
of 1964.
Absolutely.
All I have to think about is my poor great grandmother.
All right. How many days? We have 83 days.
Kingdom of Cowboys. That's all I have to do. To have the motivation to stand up here.
All I have to think
about. That's all I have to think about.
Go through the things on your desk. Do we have 83 days? We have 83 days. Can we do this for 83 days? Let's think about that. You have to bring your rules. Okay, the other, all of your other bills on your desk, all of your
other cases you want me to go over.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm studying just a bit, so I'm still in my study mode. So we have Doherty, which deals with summary judgment. And summary judgment,
the other cases you want me to go over.
It is a process, as I stated before. Summary judgment is a process to go outside and to have a removal from peers in a jury trial, from my understanding.
Yes.
I always have to qualify. I'm not an attorney. I'm just doing my best to try to understand this stuff. But what it does is that it takes away,
from my understanding,
that plaintiff's ability to have one a speedy recovery. Because we have to admit that if you have a jury by trial, that plaintiff's will go through that process much faster than what you would in a summary judgment.
That if
why
you
is
have
that?
A jury by trial.
Well, summary judgment, a jury, I think my opinion, which is, you know, that I don't know how much that counts for, but summary judgment is to prolong the fight to become whole. So summary judgment is the entity that's being, the defendant,
is to prolong
wanting to try not to pay out damages for a wrong
so summary
that
judgment
is made.
That's from the
what I gather in simple
being,
terms.
The defendant,
so
wanting
when
to
you're trying
try
to
not to pay out damages
make the
for
experience
a, wrong
a longer experience
made.
For the
that's from what
for
I
the plaintiff,
terms.
That becomes a burden. And here's the other thing. The burden for the plaintiff in a summary judgment is actually higher.
The
there's another case, and I'm not sure if it's the same case or not. But,
it's
Doherty. It's Doherty.
For the plaintiff,
so in Doherty,
judgment,
and let me see if I put my notion here. I would like
higher.
To venture
there's
and say that
sure
the burden for the plaintiff
it's
higher and
so
it's extraordinary.
Doherty,
and it's not the same
I would like
as what it would be if it was a jury
that the burden
if
for the
there was a trial
is higher and it's extraordinary.
I'm
and
sorry.
It's not
what's the name of that case that you're reading from?
Oh, this is Doherty versus
what
City of Maryland Heights, which, by
jury.
The way,
that's in your district.
That's in my district.
Did you just stumble across those like that?
Hey,
did you just
know
to go and get
10 years ago,
this is Doherty.
No, let me tell you what I did.
Which,
you know,
by the way,
a lot of people have families and they do a lot of different things on the weekends.
Did you just stumble across those like that?
So, I don't know how good I study. I don't know how bad I study.
No,
but I do my best.
A lot of people have families.
I do my best. So that
so
can be as prepared as possible.
Absolutely.
So on Saturday, I spent about 4 hours with these really, really smart people.
So that
and I said, this is all the information I'd like to have. I try to understand what the issue is.
Saturday,
the issue, Senator, it is so complex, but then it's not complex because all of
we're talking about is equal access to become whole.
Yes.
Think about visualize that. Let's visualize.
But then it's not.
There is a process that we go through so that we can become whole. If there is a barrier in that process while you're trying to become whole, is that giving that person who is not whole the opportunity while you're trying to become whole,
and that they have a right to,
is that giving that person who is
negating the purpose of what
the opportunity
our Constitution
that they deserve,
how it's written,
and that they have and what it's meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
I think the answer is yes.
I think so too.
Senator,
I think so too. You have any idea how many cases we're going to throw out if we turn around?
I don't know. I went back to Griggs. I got to tell you that yesterday. I went back to Griggs because Griggs is one of those
foundations. You have any idea how many cases we're going to throw out if we turn around?
Oh, here it is.
I don't know. I went back to
Griggs. It's Willie Griggs. He's the petitioner versus Duke Power Company. And I told my Griggs is really important.
Let me
look at my
Willie
notes Griggs, here. He's the Griggs is really important because it deals with
Duke
disparate impact.
Okay.
And disparate impact in this case
Griggs,
of Griggs
is really important.
One of the issues was
here.
Griggs
is really
Willie
important because
Griggs
deals with
he did not have
okay.
a high school certificate.
Of okay.
And
one
he was trying to get a job.
This Willie
and he was
he
told
not
he could have a job.
A
so
high school,
of course he sued.
Certificate.
So what happened in discovery? What they found is that they were trying to do
and
a general intellectual
a
test.
Mm-hmm.
The test
so,
was if you
sued.
Have this college
so
or I'm sorry,
in
this high school certificate.
What they found is
you know,
that, mm-hmm.
but the next question was,
were
you able to actually do the job
test.
Without mm-hmm. a high school certificate?
The test was
and the answer, the opinion
college, or, I'm sorry,
of the court
you
was
know,
that
but the next
you
question
didn't
was,
have to
were you
have
able to actually do the job
a,
college,
a high school degree in order
certainly.
To do the
and
work.
The answer, the opinion,
so,
of
when they asked for a high school requirement
you didn't have
that
to
was
have
above and beyond
a college,
what was
a high
necessary.
In
what
order
year
to
was
do
that?
Work.
Now,
so,
there's one more bullet point I have.
When they asked
both
for a high school requirement
are unrelated to a successful job performance.
What was necessary.
So they
what
asked for an intellectual
now,
test.
There's one more bullet
and they
I
also
have.
Asked for
both
a high school graduation
are unrelated
requirement.
To a successful mm-hmm. job
education requirement.
So
neither
they asked
one
for
of them.
An
this is a ruling
okay.
from
and they
the
also
judges,
asked for
the opinion.
A
high school.
A
neither one. Neither one.
Mm-hmm. Education requirement
was related to a successful
from
job
the
performance.
The opinion.
So the reality of the requirements
one,
under Griggs
neither one
substantially. Would disqualify African Americans at that time. Now you asked what year was
yes.
this?
Well,
this
so
was
the
Griggs. Where's my
Griggs?
Griggs. Griggs was 1970.
Yeah.
This is after the Civil
War.
Wait, the sponsor. The
sponsor,
sir.
Yes.
I think the sponsor wants to do away with this, too.
Griggs
was he wants to do away with this, too, sir. Look at that. He wants to do away with making sure everyone has equal footing in order to get a job. So what is so elemental in Griggs versus Duke
away
is that you
making
cannot
sure
have
everyone has
a
equal
test
footing in order to get
that
a job.
That is a higher
so
standard.
What is so elemental
right.
in
what
Greg
it
versus
takes
Duke?
Yes. To
is that
job.
To perform the
you
job successfully.
Absolutely.
But the senator who passed this bill wants to overturn
that
it.
That is a overturn higher all standard. Of that. Absolutely right.
You cannot require a high school
to perform the job successfully.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But the senator who passed
yes.
this bill wants to
yes.
overturn it.
Overturn all of that. Absolutely.
You cannot require
with
a high school education
job
if.
Did you hear that, Senator?
If.
I heard that.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The senator, the junior senator from St. Charles, he didn't hear that.
He didn't hear that.
get in here.
So that's great, Senator. That's 1970 before I was even born.
Oh, my goodness. So we're going to throw out some very substantial changes and protections to the workers if we pursue this bill.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's important. That's key. I mean, that's fundamental, Senator.
Right.
I mean, seriously, that's what the senator, the sponsor of this legislation, is trying to do. I mean, bit by bit.
Yeah, that's important. That's key. I mean, that's fundamental, Senator.
Right.
I mean, seriously, that's what the senator, the sponsor of this legislation, is trying to do.
Yes.
I mean, bit by bit, everything that my fourth great grandmother dreamed about.
Everything that
she wants to take all of that away.
Yes.
And he wants to go before 1870. He wants to go to 1870. No, no, 1864.
Right.
He wants to go to 1864.
1864.
Yes. Before she was counted as a person.
Before 1870.
He wants to go to 1870. No, no, 1864.
That's what the sponsor wants to do.
1864.
Yes.
Before she was counted. I think that's
right, Senator. I know this is your inquiry.
Oh, I just wanted to know if that's right.
This just is.
Do you think that is right?
Absolutely not.
Do you think that is fair? Do you think that makes the person whole?
That's right, Senator. I know this.
They lose their wholeness. We'll go back to where I was at the age of 14.
Do you think that's right?
My founding father was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Do you think that may not be able to have the following conversation in a public
setting? We'll go back to where I was at the age of 14.
Well,
my founding father was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
The psychological effect
on
African Americans. The following conversation in a public setting.
Okay.
Let's talk about
that. Let's have it.
Let's start with slavery.
The psychological effect.
When your families were torn apart.
Mm. Okay.
The mamas.
Let's talk about that.
Maybe had their children to the age of five, and it was a boy child.
Right.
Boy when child would go to mass down the street. To the other plantation.
The mamas.
Or
maybe
another plantation.
To the age of five and
two counties down.
A boy child.
Right.
The boy child would go to mass.
And then the
down
mama
the
is there. And she's turning. And she's wondering what happened to my
another
baby.
Another plantation.
This is my son.
Two counties down.
This is my daughter that I had. And they're
and
wondering
the
what happens.
And she's turning.
And they've lost.
And she's wondering what happened to my baby.
Months, Senator.
This is
I
my son. This is my daughter that I had.
Yes.
But to have something
what
in your womb for 9 months and then after 5 years, that is taken from you, Senator?
Right.
You have?
Ripped
what
away.
Kind of emotional impact would that have on you, Senator?
Staggering impact.
And
then after staggering.
That happened for how many years,
oh
Senator?
Oh, my God.
From
400.
You, Senator?
Right. And some
what
away.
Kind of emotional
often,
impact would that have on you, Senator?
How many of us?
Impact.
How many of our ancestors?
How many
we all have them.
God.
I had great grandparents who were slaves
some.
As children. I know who they
how
are.
Often.
I know where
when
they were.
How long.
I know where they came
how many
from.
Of us?
And yet
how
we're
many
still,
of our ancestors?
Still. We all have them. I had great grandparents
we are still
who were slaves as children.
In the face of
I know who they
ripping
are.
Away.
I know where they were.
Gains
I know where they
to
came
protect
from.
All people.
And yet we're still.
Still,
our people for certain and many, many others. We just
we
cannot tolerate that, Senator. That's why we're here having this
away.
Discussion.
And
can I have it?
The identity of a black man.
Our people for certain
now,
and many, many
we
others.
Know
we just cannot that tolerate that.
Our
Senator.
Black
that's why
male
we're here
senator
having this discussion.
Has been demeaned. He has been degraded. He has made
now,
to be. He has been forced
that our black
because
male
of
senator,
tradition. Has been
because
demeaned,
of institutional
he has been
racism.
Degraded,
still
he has been forced
be, he
to
has
feel
been forced
less than who
because
he should
of
be.
Tradition.
Our men
because of
in the black
institutional
community,
racism.
Yes. And it's still
he has
I have
supposed
two sons.
To be strong.
To feel
I have two sons.
Less
and I wound up being the
be.
Single head of
our
household.
Men
it was not my intention, but it turned
community.
Out like that.
Yes.
And they are both approaching
I
40 years old at this
strong.
Point, and I never
I
called them boys
sons.
Ever.
And I
were always my sons.
You know, Ernest Gaines
never called them boys.
You know, Ernest Gaines.
Like yes, I do.
In my
and they are
house.
Both
approaching 40 years old.
We need to get to
this
Breed
point,
Mac. That's all about the black
ever.
Male and his identity and how
son.
The black family
you know,
has been
Ernest
torn
Gaines?
Apart.
And we
a
don't,
great book.
You know,
and there are many. There are many that talk about our story. And I think that we don't want to take that pain and spread it. We don't want to take that pain and spread it to those of us who are involved in the immigration community. We want to protect our citizens.
We want to take that pain and
we want to make sure that they have
we
equal
don't want
access
to
the laws that were put in place from the Constitution to this very day. We do not want those to be eroded. We do not want them to be changed. We will only
we
suffer
make
more
sure
economic
equal
problems
laws
as a result of that. And we are supposed to suppress our concerns about our treatment in the workplace. And it's just patently and totally unfair. It should not occur.
Now, my good, good friend.
And we are
my best friend's
our
mama. My best friend is Kenny Murphy Gardner. I told him if I ever had a child, I would name
totally
it Murphy.
Unfair. It should not
his
hurt.
Mama,
now,
Gloria
good,
Jean
good friend,
Gardner, she sent
my
me this
best
book,
friend's mom,
100 and,
or
1,001 Things
Murphy
Everyone
Gardner.
Should Know About African American History.
Child,
and there's some amazing
Murphy.
Things in this book.
His
there
mama, Gloria Jean
Gardner.
Many things that we put into place. Technological advances, Senator, I'm sure there are many.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's
advances.
The page.
I'm sure there are many. Okay, you
here's
the
page to turn to, Senator.
What is that?
Toward emancipation. The slaves as a military element.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm sure there are many. Okay, you
here's the page to turn to, Senator.
What is that?
Toward emancipation. The slaves as a military element in the South.
That's pretty interesting.
That's pretty interesting. So as far back as then, we were fighting to support this country.
That's the date I see it.
Yes, indeed.
That's amazing, Senator. So, that's
pretty interesting.
That's pretty interesting. So as far back as then, we were fighting to support this country. Yes, indeed.
Wants to undo Griggs versus Duke.
So let's
he wants to undo... McBride versus Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to undo
Griggs.
Dory.
Yes.
Versus Duke. And those are just some of the cases that I know.
Okay.
What about the ones I don't know?
Right. And there are several. There are many.
This bill is going to have an enormous impact on people of color, people with disabilities, people who are lesbian, gay.
We're having
this conversation for how many corporations? This is going to have
This is the 21st century, they tell us.
I want my kids to dream. You know, I read during the interim. I read to 9 different classes.
I can't believe we're
9 different classes every single week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 9 to 12, I read to kids.
You know, I read
when you go to the Rittner School District, or if you go to the Pattonville School District, you see kids from every single background.
It's a glorious experience.
They are Asian, they are Hispanic, they're black, and they're white, and they're working together, and we want to be able to tell them you can do anything
you could ever imagine. But
except
you colored
children,
they are
Hispanic,
they're
black,
and they're white, and they're working together, and we want to be able to tell them you can do anything you could ever imagine.
Except
you colored children. Given a situation where you're discriminated against, you do not have a path to being whole again, Senator.
Three senators on the floor, Senator from Johnson.
President, with no objection, I do have a special guest in the upper gallery.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
My name is Richard Orr with Southern Missouri Credit Union, has just been appointed
three
to
on the floor,
Credit
Senator
Union
from Johnson.
Commission. I would like to make him welcome to the body.
Let's make Mr. Orr welcome as he joins us here in the Senate chamber. Hearing no objection, proceed.
My name is Richard Orr with Southern Missouri Credit Union. As
resume the debate.
The Credit Union Commission would like to make your
reading to the students.
Let's
in the
make
school.
Mr. Orr,
what types of things are you reading to them, Senator? And what grade level are we talking about?
My favorite book is Grace for President.
Oh, okay.
It's in my car. I should go have my assistant.
To the students in the school.
I hope
yes,
my assistants know where my keys are so they can go get Grace for President. Because Grace for President is such a great book for kids if you're in second, third, or fourth, or fifth grade. It's all about our keys are so they can go get Grace for President. Because Grace for President and the teacher, what the teacher sees, this is a book. But maybe one of my assistants should go to my car so I can read in my back. Seat is my book, Grace for President. And
maybe,
the teacher, what the
maybe,
teacher sees,
I could
this is
share
a book.
The same story.
But maybe
I
one of my
kids.
Assistants so would go to my car about. So I can read.
So
in my back seat is my is book,
her
Grace for President.
Yes.
And
maybe,
there is
maybe,
a study, I guess.
I share the
teacher
same story I share
brings
with
out
so
all of the presidents in our history.
So Grace.
And Grace says,
in classroom.
There are no girls!
Is
and then
the
teacher says,
the teacher
"No, there's never been a woman president."
All of the presidents.
And Grace says, "I hate the fact there's never been a woman president before.
There are no girls.
I don't want to run for president."
And then the teacher
and then,
says, "No, there's never been a
all
woman
the kids
president.
In the classroom they laugh.
Says, oh, Grace, you can't run for president.
Never been a woman president
you can't run for president.
I
want to
run for president." And then the
and
teacher
then,
says.
All the kids
here's
in
what
the
teacher
said.
She says,
"Oh,
Grace,
you can't run for president.
Why don't we
you
have
can't
an
run
election
for president,
at Woodrow Wilson Elementary School?"
And then the teacher
and
says,
"And so the next day,
here's
when
what the
Grace
says.
Comes into her classroom,
she says, well,
what she ends up getting
why don't we
is an opponent. You know how we have an opponent? It's from another classroom.
And, so the next day,
and it's a guy whose name
Grace
is Thomas Cobb. Thomas Cobb, the class president.
Getting."
So Thomas Cobb is like,
you know how we have
he's the
it's
spelling bee champion, he's
and it's
the
a
soccer
guy,
champion,
name is Thomas Cobb.
He is like the all-American, and yes, privileged
so
person.
So Thomas Cobb mm-hmm. is like, he's the
so,
spelling bee champion.
What they do,
he's the soccer champion.
All of the kids in the two,
he
I think
like
it's
the
Mrs.
all-American
class,
and yes,
which
privileged
Grace is in.
Person.
So mm-hmm. what all the kids do,
so
they end up taking a number or in a state.
All of the kids
so they
the
each
student,
pick a state.
I think it's Mrs. Barrington's
and
class.
Then with the state,
which Grace is
there
in.
Are the
so
equal amount of electoral
do.
Votes.
Yes.
And
they
so the teachers explain
a number or in a state.
The reason why
so
you have the number three is because
and then with the
you know,
state,
this state has only
there
three electoral
are
votes.
The equal amount of electoral votes.
So then
and
everybody
so
has
the
their state.
Explain.
They're campaigning. Grace
the
is campaigning. She has all of these campaign promises.
You
and
know,
she says, we won't have any more
votes.
Fish stick tacos. And then Thomas
so,
Cobb says, we will have fish stick tacos every single day. And then you have someone, you have Grace again.
And
you
she
know,
says,
I'm going to volunteer.
Fish
and then
stick
Thomas,
tacos.
All he does
Thomas
is study
says,
his spelling words.
We will
plays soccer. And then
Grace,
she's doing, you have Grace
she's
again.
Doing like what women
you
know,
do when they're ready for office.
And then
we do some of the hardest work.
Study his spelling words. And he plays soccer.
In a
and
lot
then,
of
like,
ways.
Grace, she's doing. Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
so it comes
like
to
do when they're ready for
election
office.
Day.
Yeah, we
Woodrow Wilson Elementary
work.
School.
Yeah, we're different than male candidates. In
so
a lot
everyone
of ways.
Says, mm-hmm. I represent
and so it comes
Alabama.
To
yeah.
Election
I represent Mississippi. And obviously, mm-hmm. I mentioned it in those two states because. This
so
bill is reflective
says,
of their policy.
I represent.
I represent. I yeah. represent. And they're going
I
down the list. They're in the stadium, Senator. They're in the stadium at the elementary school. And then Grace looks up at the board.
I represent. I represent. And they're going down the list. They're in the stadium, Senator. They're in the stadium at the elementary school. And then Grace looks up at the board.
I'm sorry, 200.
And what she
no.
sees?
Yeah, 267.
100 mm-hmm.
versus
67 electoral votes.
68.
Versus
Thomas
sorry,
Cobb
200,
has 268.
No.
Yeah, 267. There's one
mm-hmm.
more person. The book goes.
Versus.
And there's one more
two,
state to go.
68.
All right.
So there's
Thomas
this little
Cobb
kid.
Has
he's all.
68. There's one
Wyoming.
More person. The book goes.
And everybody's nervous.
And there's one
the
more state
says,
to go.
He looks down at Grace handmade flag.
So there's this
handmade
little
flag.
Kid. He's all.
And everybody say, okay, vote.
Wyoming.
You gotta vote.
And
everybody's
vote.
Nervous. The book says,
I vote for Grace Campbell.
And everybody say, okay, vote. And everybody has all of this emotion. Grace Campbell.
I vote for Grace Campbell.
Why? Why did you vote for me?
Has all this is a, talking. She is talking to a white male classmate.
Why did you vote for me?
Why?
And he says to her in response,
because you are the best person for the job, Grace, and that's why I voted for you.
She won.
And he says to her in response,
she won.
Because you are the best person for the job, Grace. And that's why I voted.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Stoddard.
She won.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some special guests and ask for unanimous consent to introduce them.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right, seated here in the lower gallery, are some friends of mine who have made the trip from Dexter, Missouri. They work with the Regional Health Care Foundation there in Dexter, Missouri. First, let me introduce Mr. Gary Skates. Gary and I worked, well, he'll say that I was there, and he worked at a manufacturing firm in Dexter that was called Arvin Automotive at the time. And then he has with him his wife, Lavita Skates, and Miss Lisa Thrower. Mrs. Thrower and Mrs. Gates work with the Regional Health Care Foundation and do a wonderful job, and I would just like the Senate to welcome them here today.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from Stoddard feel welcome as they join us here today.
There's
your Grace Campbell.
I love Grace Campbell. Possibly read to. And I got to tell you, Senator, what I do, I not only go to
So here's, and I'm going to read it to you like I read to the kids.
Yeah.
A little bit of drama, Senator.
I always have drama. One Monday morning in September, Mrs. Barrington pulled out a big poster with all the president's pictures on it. Grace Campbell did not believe her eyes. Where are the girls?
She didn't know where they were.
That is a very good question, said Mrs. Barrington. The truth is, our country has never had a woman president.
Where are the girls?
No girl president ever, Grace asked. No, I'm afraid not, said Mrs. Barrington. Grace sat at her desk and stewed. No girl had a woman president.
Who'd ever heard of such a crazy thing?
No girl president ever, Grace asked.
Finally, she raised her hand.
No, I'm afraid not, said Mrs.
Barrington.
I've been talking,
thinking it over.
And I'd like to be president.
No girl.
Several students in the class laughed. Well, I think that's a star-spangled idea, Grace,
said
Mrs. Barrington. In fact, we can have our own election right here at Woodrow Wilson Elementary. The
snickering
in the room stopped.
Well,
Grace smiled. Would anyone else like to run for president? Mrs. Barrington asked.
We can have our own election right here at Woodrow Wilson Elementary.
Becoming president was going to be easy, Grace thought.
Grace smiled.
The next day, Mrs. Barrington made an announcement. In the name of democracy, I have invited Mr. Waller's class to join our election.
Becoming president,
their class has nominated Thomas Cobb to be their presidential candidate. Grace's heart sank.
In the name of democracy,
Thomas
I have invited Mr. Waller's class to join our election.
His experiments always took a blue ribbon at the science fair. And he was captain of the soccer team.
Grace
becoming president wasn't
Thomas
going to be so easy after all, Grace thought.
His
the teachers put the names of all 50 states and the District of Columbia into a hat. Everyone except for Grace and Thomas got to choose a state.
After all, Grace thought.
I'm Texas, said Anthony.
I'm New Hampshire, said Rose.
I'm Michigan, said Robbie.
What is the number 17?
Everyone except for Grace.
Each state is assigned a number of electoral votes.
I'm Texas,
that number is determined by how many people live in that state,
Michigan,
said
Mrs. Robinson.
Each of you will be a representative for your
state.
Altogether, our country has 538 electoral votes, Mr. Waller explained. on election day, the candidate who receives 270 electoral votes or more wins the election. Why 270, asked Rose? That's more than half of all the electoral votes, Mr. Waller said. Becoming president really wasn't going to be so easy, Grace thought. Grace came up with a campaign slogan. Make history, vote Grace Campbell for president. Becoming Thomas came up
really wasn't going to be so easy.
Vote for Thomas Todd, the best man for the job.
Grace came up with a
Grace listened to what issues were important to the students.
Grace
and she made a list of campaign
promises. Came up with his own
a peaceful school. No bullets.
A clear school.
No littering. Better hot lunches. No more fish stick tacos.
And she made
Thomas made up his own list of promises.
A
free tutoring. Free soccer lessons. Fish stick tacos every week. Grace
better
made campaign posters
no
and buttons. Thomas made posters
Thomas
and buttons, too. Each week,
free
the teacher set aside
free
time for the candidates to meet with their
week.
Constituents.
Grace made
polls were taken.
And
voters were
Thomas
making their choices.
And buttons, too.
Each Grace
week,
continued
the teacher
to
set aside time
at recess
for the candidates to meet with
during
their
lunch, she handed out free cupcakes. After school,
voters
she held rallies.
Choices.
Meanwhile, Thomas wasn't worried.
At recess, she gave speeches.
He had cleverly calculated that the boys held slightly more electoral votes than the girls. At recess, Thomas studied his spelling words.
During lunch, he worked on his latest science experiment.
After school,
he
played soccer. Even before the election, Grace made good on her promises. She joined the safety squad.
She
organized the school beautification committee. And she volunteered her time in the school cafeteria. In early November, Woodrow Wilson Elementary School hosted a special election day assembly. Grace
and Tom
took their places on stage as the school band began to play.
In early November,
Harry was
Woodrow
the first
Wilson
representative to approach the microphone.
The Yellowhammer State of Alabama cast its 9 electoral votes for Thomas Cobb.
Fletcher said,
the
last Frontier State of Alaska cast its 3 electoral votes for the best man for the job. Thomas
Cobb.
Hannah called
out.
The Grand Canyon State of Arizona cast its 10 electoral votes
for
Grace Campbell. And
for the
so it
man for the job.
State
Thomas
after state after state cast their electoral votes.
The
scoreboard in the gymnasium
kept
track of the totals. The voting demonstration was quickly coming to an end. Claire approached the podium.
The
Badger State
of
Wisconsin cast its 10 votes for my best friend, Grace Campbell.
The
Grace looked at the scoreboard.
Thomas
had 268 electoral votes. She had 267. There was only one state still unaccounted for.
Grace looked at
Wyoming. Thomas had 268 electoral votes. Grace felt sick. Sam walked up to the microphone. He looked at Thomas. He looked at Grace. He looked down at Grace's handmade flag. Sam didn't say a word.
Grace felt sick.
What are you waiting for? Thomas whispered.
The
band stopped playing. All eyes were on Wyoming.
He looked down at Grace's handmade flag.
Sam cleared his throat. The equality. Oh, hey, this is funny. This is funny, Senator.
The
equality state of Wyoming cast its 3 electoral votes for Grace Campbell.
The gymnasium
erupted in loud cheers.
This is funny, Senator.
And a few boots.
The equality state of Wyoming cast its 3 electoral votes.
And
four,
electoral
Grace Campbell.
Votes.
The winner is Grace Campbell.
Thomas looked stunned.
And
Grace hugged Sam. Why did you do it, she asked.
The
Sam handed Grace's flag.
70
because,
electoral
he said,
votes. The winner is
I thought
Grace
you
Campbell.
Were the best person
Thomas
for the job.
Grace
the following week,
why did you
the
do
students
it,
in Mrs. Barrington's class
Sam
were preparing for their career day presentations.
Because, said,
Grace volunteered to go first.
The best
she stood at the
job.
Front of the room and
the
glanced at the poster still hanging on the wall.
Class
and she says,
their career
my
day
name is Grace Campbell, and when
Grace
I grow up, I'm going to be president
she
of the United States.
She stood at the front of the room
this
and
time,
glanced
everyone
at the poster
believed
still
that
hanging
she
on
would.
The wall. And she said,
that is one of my favorite
my
stories to read
Campbell.
To kids.
When I grow
you did that
up,
with a great
I'm
deal of animation.
I do that with all my classes.
This time,
with all
private
classes.
Schools, public schools,
yes,
I don't discriminate.
Wait
a minute!
That is one of my
wait
favorite
a minute, I just said, did you hear that?
You did that very
I
with a great
read
deal of animation,
at public school.
I do that with all my
and
classes.
Private school.
Private school.
And then
schools,
I said,
wait a minute, I just said, did you hear that?
Oh, what school I
read
at
public school.
Oh, that's a novel idea, Senator. Not to discriminate.
Absolutely. Novel idea, Senator. Is that novel? Does it have to be that in our environment? Does non-discrimination have to be a novel idea? Should it just be a matter of man treating man with a great deal of respect and dignity?
You know what I'm excited about? Is that novel? Can I tell you what I'm excited about right now?
Yes.
Whoever that coward was who put that little gun targeting on my door, I wish I could say the words that
I'm excited about.
You know what I'm excited about
now?
Can I tell you what I'm excited about right now?
I believe you said something to the effect there's a special place in hell, I believe.
I did say there's a special place in hell. But then there's also something I can say that would be way, way more effective.
I believe you said something to the effect there's a special place in hell.
Could I did say there's a special place in hell.
Well, you can tell me that in the hallway, Senator.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Well, Senator, I appreciate what you have offered on this debate, especially as it relates to the four cases that you brought up this morning. We should get together and do a little more digging and see exactly how many cases we're speaking. Well, Senator, I appreciate what you that would be impacted by this particular bill. We've seen that it goes back across time more than 100 years into the 1800s and moves forward right now to the 21st century. We'd be wiping out a serious amount of a lot of work, a lot of hardship on certain people. And I think we need to give it a lot of thought. I thank you for allowing me to inquire of you, and I certainly appreciate the information that you dispensed this morning.
I hope that it was entertaining.
It was entertaining, and it was also enlightening. I thank you, President, for allowing me to inquire. I thank you for the opportunity. Information that you dispensed.
Further discussion.
I hope that it was entertaining.
It was entertaining, and it was also enlightening.
Further discussion.
Mr. President.
Senator for the ninth, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire
further
of
discussion.
The Senator from the 14th.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, do you yield? What purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, yesterday, I missed a bit of the discussion yesterday. I believe you were speaking with the Senator from the 10th, and you began to have some discussion regarding Mr.
Proceed.
Cat.
She does. Proceed.
Hoppy?
Senator, oh, my Hoppy!
Your Hoppy.
Hoppy! Yeah, Hoppy. So Hoppy is my first girl pet that I've ever had. And she is so rambunctious. Oh, my goodness, Hoppy. Her energy opposite of what
so
I thought it was
my
going
first
to be
girl
when I
ever
had started bottle feeding her, and she was
she
a week
so
old.
Rambunctious.
And I always have a problem
my goodness,
with this
her energy
darn thing. I have little fingers.
Okay. What I thought it was going to
so,
be.
So, yeah, what about Hoppy?
I guess started
well,
bottle feeding.
Well, maybe it's not Hoppy.
She was a week
so
old.
So your dog.
Bartholomew.
Bartholomew. Okay.
As my mom says, Bartholomew.
Bartholomew? Okay,
so,
what kind of dog is
yeah,
she?
Yeah, what about Hoppy?
Or indeed.
Bart
well, and
maybe is half Australian
so
cattle dog.
Bart
Luck Lab. I had the
okay.
choice of
says,
getting his sister Maggie when I went to the Humane Society. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, which is the more aggressive dog. And
I had the
frankly,
of getting
and he's a rescue. Maggie was a rescue too. And the reason why
so
I was actually
I
was there at the Humane Society
you know,
in 2008,
dog.
Because I had been
and
getting
it,
stalked
frankly,
during my
and
the entire election in
too.
My
and
house
and the reason why I was actually
in 2008
at the Humane Society.
And it was at the point I think my dad was in the middle of dying during this buffoon. Who decided to run against
my
me, decided to have people follow me all over the cave, all over the place,
it was at the point,
and also vandalized my property.
And, this
and it was a very hard experience. So what I decided to do was to get a dog, because
cave,
as a single woman, I want to have you know, an additional set of eyes, an additional set of ears. And so
and
I got Bartholomew. So,
what
so, so many people ask me, why did you name your dog Bartholomew? Well, I have to tell you, I was on my computer one day, and I really didn't have a name for him. I was on my computer one day, and there was some misspelling, and I was doing a spell check thing. And it came up Bartholomew.
I was on my computer one day, and
I really
didn't have a name for him.
You say Bartholomew. So I named my dog Bartholomew.
And it came up, Bartholomew.
She's an awfully rambunctious
but,
dog.
You know,
he is.
She.
You know,
I keep saying
he's
she.
Off
the train. I keep
no,
saying
Hoppy
she.
Is the girl.
So
Bartholomew
I named my dog
is the boy.
Bartholomew.
And Hop, I've never had a girl dog before.
She's
I mean, a girl pet before.
He
and
is.
She is completely
he,
off just running
right
the house.
Hoppy is the girl.
I mean, she has complete control
the
of the house.
And Hop, I've
so
never
was Bartholomew
going to
stop me yesterday?
I mean, a girl pet.
We were coming from the garage yesterday, and she was a bit...
Just
right
in the house.
I guess I'll say.
I mean, she has
but he's my best friend.
Over the house.
Is it really?
And
so
let me tell you, you step foot
in my driveway.
We were coming from the garage yesterday, and she was a bit. Well,
that's why I have him.
So let me ask you this question, Senator. So when you're in school and you learned American history, did you guys have a lot of Black history?
Oh, well, I went to Clayton High School.
So let me ask you this question, Senator.
We did. So I can tell you, in 11th grade, I took an AP course, history and English combined.
Oh, well, I went to Clayton High School.
And I was just talking about this the other day with the superintendent.
We did. I can tell you,
the deputy superintendent.
Grade, I took an
and it was the best opportunity that I had ever had in school. I learned about Zora Neale Hurston. Their eyes were watching God. Great Gatsby. That's what we were reading in 11th grade.
And it was the best opportunity.
I have to tell you that at Clayton, Clayton always had an interest in having a diverse population. If they didn't have
these,
there would obviously be something absent of a diverse student population. And so they always work hard to have that. That's why they still are part of the voluntary program.
So anyway, I was so privileged to be in a very rich white school district where we learned so much.
In fact, I was inspired. The superintendent, who is African American,
asked me, what inspired you?
In a very rich white school district. This AP history course, where we English history combined
so
course.
Fact, I was
and from that, I went to Barnard in New York for the summer.
And I, said,
and I took these pre-college summer programs, English learned about immigration and philosophy and
from that,
stuff.
I went to
and that's where I met my best friend, Kenny.
New York
my best friend, Kenny, who I was telling you about, that's where I met him, was in New York at Barnard. There were like 200 of us in this summer program that we had. And there's some people, I remember the daughter of the Jordanian ambassador was among that group of people. We had other people who were from France and Greece. There's one young girl who was like, I didn't even know that they had an Oxford high school or something like that. She was Asian from Hong Kong, and she was
we had other people who were from France and Greece.
And I was like, wow.
So I was really privileged to be part of a group of people
who had a huge experience from Hong Kong, and she was
Well, it is interesting because clearly in my grade school, I think in my grade school we had quite a few. I think initially it was pretty racially diverse. By the time I had gotten from kindergarten to eighth grade in Catholic school, I think it was primarily African American. That was a completely different story, of course. By the time I had gone to high school, you know, we had a very small minority population in my all-girls Catholic school I attended in high school. But it was interesting in grade school to be able to have lessons on Black history. And those Black Americans who achieved success despite obstacles and despite discrimination during their time.
To be able to
so when you're in school, of course, we're here in Missouri.
Black Americans.
So it's very frequent that we talk about the contributions that George Washington Carver had made.
No, you didn't talk about George Washington Carver. Do you know he's one of my favorite people?
Is it really? Have you ever been to his? Have you ever been to the park? George Washington Carver.
No, but I keep a quote. I have to get on my Facebook page because when I. One of my favorite quotes in the world is by George Washington Carver. And I'm not saying it correctly, but it goes something like this.
Because
it does not matter
the
kind of clothes you wear. It does not matter the kind of car you drive. It does not matter how much money you have in the bank. What matters is your service. That's what George Washington Carver said. That is my inspirational poem.
How much money you have in
Robert
the bank.
Frost.
Oh, really?
What matters.
Took a lot of motivation, like I said, to get here, Senator.
That's what George Washington Carver said. That is my inspirational poem.
In Diamond, Missouri.
Robert Frost.
He has a very, very, very beautiful poem.
Took a lot of motivation.
If I'm not mistaken,
like I said,
he was the first African American to have a national monument named after him. The park there is very well kept. It's beautiful. It's serene. It's awesome. You should go visit it one day.
I want to. You want me to read about him real quick in my 1001 things that you don't know about African Americans?
Absolutely.
Okay, George Washington Carver, 1865.
I want to. You want me to read about him real quick?
He was born in 1865.
That you don't know about.
You know why that's meaningful. I hope that's more than just
us people who have a little shade to us in this room know why 1865 is so important.
George Washington Carver was an agricultural chemist who won international fame for his research into the uses of peanuts and sweet potatoes. Known as the Peanut Man for his discoveries of 300 products that could be made from the peanut, including a milk substitute, face powder, soap, and printer's ink, Carver also developed 118 uses for the sweet potato, including the production of rubber. Carver was hailed as the pioneer and the new applied science of chemergy, and I don't even know how to say that, honey, or Senator, which involved finding industrial uses for agricultural products. Unfortunately for his later reputation, Carver's career emerged when applied science was increasingly viewed as less respected than theoretical science. Carver was viewed as a mere concoctor of products instead of a real scientist by the American scientific community. And his relationship with Booker T. Washington and the Tuskegee Institute, which he joined in 1896, diminished his standing among early 20th century militant black leaders. Interesting, because that talks about the dynamics of the black community. Nevertheless, Carver's numerous innovations in the application of peanuts, sweet potatoes, and soybeans revolutionized agriculture in the South, particularly as he used his base at Tuskegee to encourage black farmers to practice agricultural techniques to increase the yield of and add nutrients to their farmland. In 1923, Carver received the NAACP Award. Techniques to increase the yield of an
that's in my book, 100 or 1001 Things That We Don't Know About African American History.
The NAACP
Award. His contributions were many, and it's awesome that he's was right here in Missouri.
That's in my book, 100 or 1001 Things That We Don't Know About African American History.
But you know, you talked earlier about your favorite it's awesome that poems, he's, was right,
right
here in Missouri.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting, Senator. You know, you and I didn't necessarily grow up. But you know, you talked earlier about in the civil rights movements back in the 60s. Poems, right? But it is interesting. But the poem that I remember as a child, Senator, you and I hearing, and I hope this is not too graphic from the floor, but it clearly is something that I had remembered from an age of very young. That I remember as a child. It's The Incident by County Cullen. You know that poem?
No, I know. Tell me about it.
Graphic. From the floor, but it clearly
do you have a copy of it? Because I'd love to hear you read it.
The Incident by County Cullen. You know that poem?
No, I know. Tell me about it.
Let me think
of the first
couple words.
You have a copy of it? Because I'd love to hear you read it.
Once riding in old Baltimore, heart filled, head filled with glee, I saw a Baltimorean keep looking straight at me. I was 8. Once riding in old Baltimore,
and he was small,
heart filled, head filled with glee.
I was 8 and I was small, and he was no whit bigger.
Straight at me,
and so I smiled, and he poked out his tongue and called me.
And he was small.
I was 8. I saw the whole of Baltimore.
I was small, and he was
from May until December. Of all the things that happened there, that's all that I remember. And clearly, that's one of the poems as a child.
That has grabbed me and gripped me. That I had not that happened there.
You've memorized
that. That's all that I
did. I've known it since I was a kid.
That is
clearly
awesome.
That's one of the poems.
That's pretty awesome. You know what? We talked about motivation the other day. And
you
memorized motivation is an incredible thing. That is so incredible. And it is so powerful. You know what? We talked about to self motivate. Now, the senator from the 5th. And myself were talking about the psychological impact of African Americans. And it is so powerful.
Right.
And what I have seen, I want to continue that just for a moment and perhaps revisit it at psychological impact. But what I recall is that oftentimes, and I tell this to kids, oftentimes people will tell you no, or you can't do anything. But what I recall they will shut the door is that oftentimes on your when I face, tell this to kids, and they don't want to give you access at all. No, or you can't. And do so what I tell children, they will shut is the put door your foot in that door on your face and demand respect. And they don't want if to give your you intentions are true
And your intentions are genuine.
Put your foot in that door.
And you have nothing but good in your heart.
If your intentions are true,
then put your foot in that door and demand respect. Demand respect.
And you have nothing but good
because you deserve respect.
Then put your foot in
and see, there are a lot of people who run around even today.
Respect.
There are a lot of people who run around, Senator,
demand respect,
who take this as a joke as we stand here in this body today.
Respect.
Now, what
see,
I tell
people who run around,
the best
today,
thing about this
lot of
Senate,
people who run around,
the difference
Senator,
between the Senate
who
and the House
as a joke, as
is by the rules,
body
you have respect automatically
now, what
and you're
I
equal
tell
to
people,
every single
the
other
best
person.
Thing about this Senate,
every other
the
Senator
difference between
in
the
House
and the House
yeah,
is by
your own
the rules,
caucus will work against
you. You have respect mm-hmm. automatically
in the Senate
equal
because of our rules.
Other person.
We are equal.
Every other Senator.
Do you know how good that feels? Why
you
know, is
your
it
own caucus
that
will work against you?
We are the age
in the Senate,
that we are,
because of our rules,
and we feel complete
we are
freedom
equals.
And opportunity
you know how good that
in
feels?
This chamber
why
because of a set
that
of rules that are provided
are
us
are,
and have been the
and
tradition
we feel
of the Senate.
Freedom
why
and
is that so
in this
important and fundamental?
Because of a set of rules
because I can tell
that
you
are
the way that I felt
and have been
when I
the
was
tradition
in the House
of the Senate.
Is certainly
why
not the
that
way
so
that I feel in this body.
And
yes, we
because
may be
I
in the front row.
The way
these
that
may
I
be
felt
the peon seats of the Senate.
The house,
but
right.
let me tell you,
it's
Senator,
not
it's
the way
so
that
fascinating
I feel in
to
this
me.
Body.
And yes,
so
we may be in the front
me.
Row.
No
these
one
may
can
be
take this
the
away.
Peon seats of the Senate. But right. let me tell you, Senator,
and
here's what's so fascinating to me.
Outside of this
it's
chamber,
so fascinating
there are
to
people.
Me.
Companies,
no one can corporations that are out there who are trying to take away, who are trying to take away the fundamental equality that your ancestors and mine, Senator, have worked for.
Who are trying
so again, when we revert back to this bill,
equality
when we go back to the basic
your ancestors
and mine producing this bill
have worked for
what this bill does, Senator.
So again, when we revert
it
back
makes
to this
everyone
bill,
outside of this chamber
back
unequal.
The basic thoughts behind producing this bill, what this bill does, Senator.
Three senators standing for purpose to rise, Senator from Atchison.
Although I hate to bring
unequal.
An end to this wonderful debate we've been having this morning. I'd request the bill be put on the informal calendar.
Three senators standing.
This bill will be placed on the informal calendar.
Although I hate to bring it in.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Having this morning.
Do we have messages from the House?
Put on the informal calendar.
We do have messages from the House.
Will
be placed
those
on
read.
The informal calendar. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate
the
that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1135, an act relating to
the
review of state administrative Mr. rules. Mr. President, I'm instructed also, by the House has taken up and passed House Committee substitute for House Bill 1140, an act relating to the Missouri Accountability Portal, in which the concurrence of the Senate is rules. Respectfully requested. Also, respectfully, the House Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk. Substitute for House Bill 1140, and
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees.
Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have committee reports from your committee.
I'll
give them the coral appointments. Copies have been distributed and on the desk, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the above reports in one motion.
For a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, that will be voted on in one motion.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate to give its advice
on the above
consent for the appointments and reappointments.
Seeing no objection, that will be
you've heard the motion.
Does any senator have discussion on that motion? Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from Stoddard.
Senator, do you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just, since
you've heard the motion,
normally we do this order of business
on
Thursday, I know that we have some members that are concerned about some appointments. I know these were heard this morning, and everyone seemed to have broad support, and I don't think any of the members on this list are one ones that were
some appointments
in question, but if members are most of them
morning,
are
and
off the floor, if they're listening in the office,
support,
I didn't want them to think that we were
any of the members on this list
or
ones
certainly
that
not.
Were
these were heard
question,
this morning and just
but if members
for,
are most
the,
of them
the,
are
just for expediency
off the floor, if listening
in
their
break
office,
in
I didn't want them to think
what
that
we've been doing. We thought we'd take these all these were heard all these appointees were heard in committee this morning and all voted out without objection. Break in the
thank you, Senator.
Doing, we thought we'd take these
further
out,
discussion.
All these
further discussion.
Heard in committee this
seeing
morning,
none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I said, these
thank
were
you,
appointees that we heard this morning in the
further
gubernatorial
discussion.
Appointments committee.
Further discussion.
And all of these
seeing
votes
none, Senator,
appeared before
recognized.
The committee.
Thank
took
you, Mr.
Questions
President.
As I said, these
members
were
of that committee
and
we
all
were
voted on without any objection. So, with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
All of these you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed say no.
Members of that committee.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved that motion. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, would you please refer Senate substitute?
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Your committee on ways and means and fiscal oversight. And
yes,
also,
have
Mr.
The
President,
have
please refer
that
Senate
motion.
Concurrent Resolution number 16, Senate Concurrent Resolution 17, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 18, the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
Those bills will be so referred.
Resolution number 16, Senate Concurrent Resolution
Senator from the 13th, what purpose
Senate
do you rise?
Resolution 18, the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules,
Senator, do you yield? Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Yes.
He does proceed.
Senator, I just want
Senator
to know
from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I did not have any problems with the individuals
Senator,
on this
do you
list,
yield?
But I just
Senator
got
from Stoddard,
here
do you
an
yield?
Hour ago, and I just
yes,
looked
he does
at
proceed.
The list,
Senator,
and then we're taking it up the same day it was voted out.
No, that's not going to be a general practice. We just thought it'd be nice to get these done while we're debating this bill.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
We're taking it up the same day it was voted out.
No, that's not going to be a
Senator from the 23rd.
We just thought.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Senator from the 13th, announcements.
Mr.
Senator from
President,
the
23rd. I'd like to announce that
thank you, Mr.
The
President, without objection,
Senate
will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements.
In my office instead of my minivan.
Senator from the 13th, announcements. In your office instead of the minivan.
Mr. President, I'd like to
further announcements.
The eight members of the Democratic caucus.
Further announcements.
Caucus in my office instead of my minivan.
Senator from in your 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate
further
stand
announcements.
In recess until 4 p.m. this day.
Further announcements. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Senator
all opposed say no.
The 23rd.
I appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are in recess until 4 p.m. this day.
Until 4 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. I appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are in recess until 4 p.m. this day.